knife. Are you suggesting this is a knife I have in my hand? Have you gone mad, my sane husband? There was a knife, but I lost it.
Isn't it fascinating how the timing always lines up like a rigged game of dominoes? Just as the Epstein files start spilling out their filthy secrets, names, dates, and depraved dealings that could topple empires.
There are code words that suggest Jeffrey Epstein and his associates could maybe even be engaging in some sort of consumption. Is that human consumption?
The media machine cranks into overdrive with blatant distractions and a minimization press.
That bomb squad vehicle just pulled back in, but the two SWAT vehicles and the mobile command center are still out there somewhere. We were made aware of a location that they might be traveling to.
Election fraud gets criminally exposed in broad daylight, with whistleblowers and evidence piling up like unpaid bills.
Normally you would expect to see a smooth curve going up, not any big spikes. That's kind of what Greg was talking about, the anomalies of loading and uploading those votes. So that big spike that occurs there is a prime indicator of fraudulent voting.
And that's 604,000 votes in 90 minutes, is that right?
Correct.
Smartmatic has its office in Caracas, and it's co-located with the Consejo National Electoral, the National Electoral Commission. And there's 150 Smartmatic engineers and 150 CNE engineers side by side. And they have two missions. Number one, steal elections. Number two, defeat audit. Study audit. How do different states and different localities
do
conduct
their
audit so that when they're audited, you defeat audit?
And suddenly the SAVE Act, that beacon of voter integrity, born of common sense, loses steam thanks to spineless politicians on both sides of the uniparty aisle playing footsie with the deep state.
The SAVE Act is expected to be brought to the floor for a vote this week. What are your thoughts on that? Are you going to support the SAVE Act?
Not at all. It's a terrible idea. This notion that we want to put more obstacles in the paths of voters is just what Donald Trump wants, fewer people voting. I want every legal citizen in America to be able to vote without obstacles.
Do you think requiring an ID to vote in elections is making it harder? I mean,
it's more than that. It's more than an ID. It's proof that you were born in America. So what are we talking about, a passport or a birth certificate? Got one of those handy with you in your purse? I doubt it.
But no, we can't have the masses focusing on the actions of our overlords. Instead, it's wall-to-wall coverage of the Savannah Guthrie kidnapping saga on Fox News and every other propaganda puppet show with regurgitated monotony. But at least we at InfoWars can talk about the sheer volume of dirt they're burying under this avalanche of sensationalism.
Listen to me, because this isn't a reality TV show. This is entertainment. If this is handled wrong, we will have the Great Reset, and you'll be lucky if you're eating bugs. You'll probably be dead. And, of course, that's about Lex Wexner, as I told you 15 years ago, was the CIA, Mossad, MI6, mega spy chief running Epstein for George Herbert Walker Bush and Bill Barr, putting him on the Trilateral Commission when he's 30 years old, on the commission, not just a subcommission.
The Trilateral Commission is some spooky stuff. People said it was some of the people that, the Illuminati, there's some mystery about it, people that ran the world. It was politicians, but David said most countries, the politicians get elected for 4 years or 8 years, separate from the royal families in England or in the Middle East. Someone's there for 4 years and then they're not there anymore. The most important people to have stability and consistency would be businessmen. So he formed this trilateral commission of businessmen and politicians from three major continents. So it was the North American.
Yeah, I just talked to the head editor at InfoWars. I said, do you think anybody's going to be arrested? And he goes, unfortunately, no. Yeah. Welcome to the War Room. We'll be right back. Great show coming up. I'm Rob Duke.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
The word sing along.
Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. 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 He was a victim of an Arkansas. Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. Buddies with Bill Clinton, Prince Andrew too. He had a stable of girls for you to peruse, but now we'll never know who,
because they're all redacted. Cam Bodies redacted all the emails. Todd Blanche is covering his ass.
That's where we're at, folks. We're watching the cover-up in real time happen. Pam Bondi was on the congressional floor this morning making excuses. It's just amazing. And I'm sure they've all been told, the economy's going to tank if we arrest these cannibalistic pedophiles. Pam, you don't understand. We have to have cannibalistic pedophiles running the world, or we won't have an economy. See, that's the only way to have an economy now, is to have cannibalistic pedophiles. So, thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Rob Due. You can follow me on X at Due's News. I have 69,000 followers, which should make some people who are into Beavis and Butthead laugh. I'm sure Rob back there in the control room just laughed. But let's get on to it. Let's go. This is the full Thomas Massie versus Pam Bondi clip, and we'll probably stop it and bring it back and go back and forth and back it up 10 seconds because we really need to address this. I've got just a few Pam Bondi clips, and then we'll move on from Epstein. I got a little couple surprises for you guys as we go throughout the day. Today is a very special day because on this day in 1974, Alex Jones was born. I don't know if anybody knows that. So I'm sure a lot of people do know that. But Jones doesn't like to make a big deal about his birthday. So we won't make that much of a big deal, but we do have a little video for him. All right, so let's go to video one. Here it is, Pam Bondi versus Thomas Massie.
To my right is an email that was sent by the victim's lawyers to the DOJ. It was a list of names not to redact. A list of names not to release. What did the DOJ do with this email? They released this email in the document production. Literally the worst thing you could do to the survivors, you did. And they're getting phone calls. A lot of these people didn't want to be known. And we know you touched the document because you redacted one name. And you redacted the lawyer's name, but you left the survivor's name there. The next document I want to show you, that was in the title, the victim's survivor's names, all right? The title of this one is Child Sex Trafficking, Co-Conspirators, Fully Redacted. And by the way, I'm going to unredact them here. Les Wexner is in this. Now, your assistant, your deputy attorney general said, oh, well, he appears hundreds of times in the files, but he doesn't appear in this file until I forced you to release it, where he's listed as a co-conspirator, not to tax evasion, but to child sex trafficking, not to prostitution, not to money laundering, child sex trafficking. And then finally, what we have here is the third exhibit that I have is emblematic of the FD-302 release. These are the documents that we need that you're holding on to and over-redacting because they have the names of the men who are implicated. How do we know? Because the survivors gave testimony to the FBI, and it's in there. And what happens when you go to the portal at the DOJ to look at what's behind this redaction? Another redaction. So we can't even see them. And then there's some of these files you've pulled down from the website that we will never see because we can't search the redactions. So I have several questions for you. Who's responsible? Are you able to track who in your organization made this massive failure and released the victims' names? Are you able to track who it was that obscured Les Wexner's name as a co-conspirator in an FBI document? Do you have that kind of accountability?
I believe Wexner's name was listed more than 4,000 times.
I already told you that. This is where he's listed as a co-conspirator.
Can I finish my answer? Come on. Let me finish my answer.
Come on.
We corrected that within 40 minutes. He was already, you're acting like everybody's trying to cover up Wexner's name.
Reclaiming my time.
I'm going to answer this question.
Reclaiming my time.
Mr.
Chairman.
This is how this works.
Can I have my time?
Mr.
Chairman.
The gentlelady can give her answer. The time belongs to the gentleman from.
All right, I'm reclaiming my time.
Can I give my answer?
So, yes. I'm going to put the language of the bill up on the screen.
Chairman, may I give another question on that?
Here's the question.
And I need to give my answer on that.
We'll let the Attorney General respond, and then the gentleman
Hold on. Pause right there. That was the one true statement. This is a political show. This is a political show left and right, because if they were going out and arresting these co-conspirators like Les Wexner and others, it would be a lot different. But these guys, I guarantee you, are lawyered up, and they probably already talked to the DOJ. Like, look, you come after us, we're going to bring everything down. We're going to implode the economy. The end of Fight Club, watching all the buildings fall. And that's what they're doing. They're trying to hold the economy and how we run as a country hostage. And the American people are demanding that these people have accountability. Yeah. At the end of this, she does accuse him to have Trump derangement syndrome. Massey becomes the first Republican to spar with her. Yeah, most of the Republicans are falling in line. You know, and Massey might be one of these people that's more independent or more libertarian. He's probably more libertarian, so he's going to be side with the left on a few things. Let's go ahead and finish it.
Minutes. You asked me a question. Within 40 minutes, Wexner's name was added back.
Within 40 minutes of me catching you red-handed.
There was one redaction out
where
of
he's
over
listed
40,
as a co-conspirator.
Okay. And we invited you in. This guy has Trump derangement syndrome. He needs to get, you're a failed politician.
I want you to watch the Chairman, please restore his time and remind the witnesses
there is no credible information. None. If there were, I would bring the case yesterday that he trafficked to other individuals.
Is that your position as well?
My position is any victim who comes forward, of course, we would love to hear from them. 1-800-CALL-FBI. Did you ask Merrick Garland that the last 4 years? Did you talk about Epstein?
I am reclaiming my time. I'm glad you're asking about Merrick Garland.
You don't get a reclaim time
when you don't.
Because
this is bigger than Watergate.
When I don't answer a question
the way
you want.
This goes over four administrations. You don't have to go back to Biden. Let's go back to Obama. Let's go back to George Bush. This cover-up spans decades, and you are responsible for this portion of it.
And that's
now, I want to know, at what point...
See, Thomas Massey is right about that. Pam Bondi is, even though you would think it's not a cover-up, because she's releasing 3 million documents. But, we just happened to disclose the co-conspirator Les Wexner. We just happened to delete his name until we were caught, and then we undid it. But there was an email that Alex pointed out the other day, it was a FBI memo, and it's like, we've redacted names of former presidents, secretaries of state, blah, 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 blah. So they they're protecting people. They're protecting people from accountability at the end of the day. Was that the end of that? Did we get to the end of that? That was just hard to watch. This is sort of, I guess this next clip is sort of the end of that whole segment. Did you ask Merrick? Because she mentioned that there. I thought that was a second clip. The cover-up spans decades. And he's right. Thomas Massie's right. The cover-up spans decades, and she's responsible for her portion where she said, oh, it's sitting on my desk. I'm going to release it. And then, oh, Jeffrey Epstein didn't traffic children to anybody. It was just porn that he produced and porn that he had. But then we have a list of co-conspirators that we've redacted. Oh, but here's what Pam Bondi had to say. This is clip three. And let's just play that. It's like 40 seconds. Here it is.
The Dow right now is over. The Dow is over $50,000. I don't know why you're laughing. You're a great stock trader, as I hear, Raskin. The Dow is over 50,000 right now. The S&P at almost 7,000. And the NASDAQ smashing records. Americans' 401ks and retirement savings are booming.
Wow.
That's what we should be talking about.
That's right.
We should be talking about making Americans safe. We should be talking about, what does a Dow have to do with anything? That's what they just asked. Are you kidding?
Mr. Jordan, Mr. Jordan.
So, I got this off of the account at Jennifer_Arcuri and OFFS. We all know what that means. Oh, for blank sake. Get the predators off the streets and out of the public, then preach about what keeps Americans safe. And I replied, Pam Bondi, : kids, you can have a great economy, but we have to leave the blood-drinking pedophiles alone. That's essentially what she's saying. We have to leave the blood-drinking pedos alone, okay? Because if we get rid of these guys, oh, they'll plunge the economy. That's essentially what she's saying. You like your economy? You like your booming economy? You like your 401k going up? Yeah. So that's where we're at with Pam Bondi. Now, I found this. This is another short clip. Dude writes 25 lines of code that can unredact all the Epstein files in less than 30 seconds. If we never see this guy again, we'll all know why. Under the TikTok account at Jack with 2Ks Flick. Here it is.
I wrote 25 lines of code that can probably unredact all of the Epstein files in less than 30 seconds.
Really not that crazy. All it does is take a PDF and turns it into a Microsoft Word doc, because the Microsoft Word doc just completely removes all this black line right here. So,
oh, look at that.
Took 0.2 seconds to do two documents.
Before I end the video, I would just like to mention that I am not suicidal. I am a great swimmer, and I look forward to living my life well into my 80s.
Good job, Jack. So, I don't know. People could find that code, I guess. I'm sure it's probably already on 4chan and whatnot. And grab it. And after we play this next clip, which I don't think we're going to play the whole thing, but I'm going to explain to you how we can win this war. And it's going to be a war of attrition to get these people to do what we want, because they're fighting tooth and nail. They're holding your 401ks hostage now. This is 5,200 Pentagon employees bought child porn. And this is from Anderson Cooper. This was years ago, but it's popped back up again because what's old is new. Here it is.
Hundreds of military employees and contractors who may have bought child pornography online but haven't been prosecuted or even in some cases investigated. That's right, you heard me, child pornography. As many as 1,700 names, according to a U.S. senator, on a list of 5,200 from an internet sting operation overlooked the first time around 4 years ago. Only now are they supposedly getting a second look, and only after pressure from investigative reporters and the U.S. senator you're about to hear from, Republican Charles Grassley. Pentagon porn story began in 2006. An Immigration and Customs Enforcement child pornography sting operation called Project Flicker produced payment records of about 5,200 people, many of whom provided Army or Fleet zip codes or military email addresses. Subsequently, the Pentagon's investigative branch, DCIS, began going through the ICE list to identify who actually was a DOD employee or
looking
a contractor.
For people who could help in
the investigation,
things.
However, only ran for 8 months and only cross-checked some 3,500 names for Pentagon ties, according to a senator. According to DCIS documents revealed in a Freedom of Information Act request, out of that 3,500, investigators uncovered 264 employees or contractors, including staffers for the Secretary of Defense and contractors at the NSA. 9 people had top security clearances. But only about 20% of those 264 people were completely investigated. Fewer still were prosecuted, and after about eight months, the entire probe was halted. It left about 1,700 names totally unchecked, 1,700 alleged kiddie porn customers, an unknown number of whom may still work in some capacity for the Defense Department. Late last summer, after investigations by the Boston Globe and Yahoo News revealed the figures, a Pentagon spokesman promised to reopen the investigation, conceding that DCIS had stopped due to lack of resources. DCIS says it is now revisiting all 5,200 names, telling Senator Grassley's staff they've now identified 302 employees or staffers. The Pentagon's IG telling us, and I quote, any suggestion that the DOD Office of Inspector General or its criminal investigative arm, the DCIS, is not taking Operation Flicker and the issue of child pornography seriously is in error. But Senator Grassley says he is still not getting the cooperation he needs from this Pentagon. I spoke to him earlier. Senator Grassley, you were told that 5,200 Defense Department employees had allegedly purchased child porn, and yet you're saying only 3,500 of those names were cross-checked by a defense investigator to see if they were really DOD personnel. That's mind-boggling. Why weren't all of them cross-checked?
Well, we don't have an answer to that question, but it's quite obvious that the other 1,700 should be cross-checked, and that's one of the answers to my questions that I want answered, and the implication of our questions is they ought to be cross-checked. We ought to find out, because we're talking about not just general pornography here. We're talking about child pornography, and child pornography, taking that down is a crime. And also, there's an added factor here, considering the fact that there's a lot of secured information, national security information, that the world shouldn't know, that a lot of times foreign operatives will use this sort of criminal activity to blackmail to get information. So there's a lot of things here that
all right, we can cut it there. I think that's the most important part. Well, people can be blackmailed. Maybe we should get those people out of working under government. I mean, can we just have a, if you're a pedo, you can't work for government act? I mean, if you're a kiddie diddler, no government contracts? I mean, why is that so hard? But this brings me to my point of how we can win this. Because right now, I had a chart, I think it's right here, of the interest, and we'll play a video of this later, the interest in Trump and Epstein over time. Like, you can see Epstein is nothing until the Epstein files are released. Now people are going crazy searching for Epstein and Trump. And this is Mark Mitchell put this out in response to, you can see there's Epstein's in blue, Trump's in red. And you can see they're off the charts compared to where they had been. This is Caroline Leavitt saying, we're moving on from Epstein. Well, the public's not moving on. And so what we have to do is sustain this momentum, bring up old stuff. Harrison found a clip of me and him in Times Square in 2017, interviewing people, talking about, I think we were talking about the Franklin cover-up. When I first moved to Austin, one of the jobs I took, I wasn't very successful at it, but it was for selling Kirby vacuum cleaners. And one of the strategies they gave you to sell the vacuum was, so they gave you a vacuum, and then they had, where the bag was, they had a contraption where you put just a cloth. You put the cloth on the back end of the vacuum. So you'd vacuum it for a little bit, and then you'd pop the cloth off, and you'd open it up, and it would show all the dirt that was in it. Okay? And after about a week, the guy brought us in there. He's like, look, I'm going to teach you about the dirt tolerance level, the DTL. And he kept vacuuming and popping them off and showing it. And he kept vacuuming. He said, as you're talking, you just keep vacuuming and you keep showing. And you keep vacuuming and you keep showing until you cover their whole floor with dirt that you picked up out of their carpet. Eventually, he goes, you will hit their dirt tolerance level.
And when you hit their dirt tolerance level, they will buy the vacuum. Okay? We have to take that principle and put it on Epstein and pedophilia in government and pedophilia with these billionaires, and we just keep hitting them and hitting them and hitting them. And the more we hit them, the more this will leak out. You know, eventually Savannah Guthrie's grandma is going to be found dead or alive, and they're going to have to end that story. Okay. Eventually all these stories of no significance are going to be ended. And when they do, it's going to be nothing but government covering for pedos, people in government working for pedos, people in government as pedos, and we're going to keep doing it. So instead of a dirt tolerance level, it's a pedo tolerance level. We're just going to keep hitting them. We got people who are busting low-level pedos out there. We're just going to keep showing the videos, showing them again, and keep putting it up. And we're not going to stop. And we will hit the pedo tolerance level. And when we hit the pedo tolerance level, eventually it'll be so much stuff that they can't deny it. They will have to do something, or somebody will come along in a position of power to do something. Or maybe that's you out there. Maybe you're out there going, I want to get rid of these pedos in government. That's hard, because these are satanic people and they have no problem killing you or your family. There was just a governor candidate in Minnesota, a guy running. His daughter was found stabbed in her apartment. Dead. She's dead. So that's what happens in Minnesota. I mean, they're killing people in Minnesota. Politicians, prospective politicians, Mike Lindell, hope he has great security, because these people aren't messing around. We are messing with their money. And just like we haven't seen any arrests in the Somali daycares yet, they've brought people in. I mean, I want to see names. I want to see pictures. I want to see people being deported. I want to celebrate that. But we're never going to have a country of any significance until this stuff is addressed and people are held accountable. And the only way to do it is hit the pedo tolerance level. So join me in our quest to get these horrible, nasty people out of government and out of our lives and in prison and do it. There's a interest over the past 5 years. You see a little one in, what was that, 2024, and then a little more, and then boom, 2026. Look at that. That's Epstein. Look where it's at now. See, we have the momentum. It's not stopping, okay? So we need people analyzing these files. We need people putting videos together. We need people sharing videos. And we're not going to stop. That's the only way to stop. I mean, that's the only way to do it, is not to stop. Not to stop. All right, we got a great show for you. Let me tell you who's coming up. I got Sean Stryker. He was a caller. He's got a few sites. Restore-America.org is one of them. We're going to be talking about how we can peacefully take back our government. And then there is a mass shooting in Canada. I mean, I don't know why, because I thought they got rid of all the guns, but apparently they didn't. The last gun in Canada was given to a trans person, and they shot up a school. And now they're dead. So Kelsey Sharin is going to come on and talk about that. And then survivalist at the third hour, Chris Hyde, is going to come on. He runs a group called SkyEarthGathering.org. He's a survivalist. And we're going to talk about how do you survive in an urban environment? Because if the Insurrection Act happens and you're in that city and you're locked down, maybe you're visiting, maybe you're a reporter, maybe you're living in the zone, this information could save your life. So, got a great show. This is just the start. But the pedo tolerance level, we must hit it. And we haven't hit it yet. It's a long way to go.
When RFK Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene Blue. Mel Gibson also praised Methylene Blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. The stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster, and it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow, you're...
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain.
Okay.
So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something.
Sure.
Crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing Methylene Blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our Methylene Blue. Our Methylene Blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it.
I mean, it's so good. It's scary. It's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up. So I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff. So thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Rob Due. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Out on the edge, you're the Milky Way's arm. There's a hardworking man working hard on his farm. The so-called stars, how they play their games. There's a dark little secret that's calling their name. Epstein's Island, hidden away from our view, where the powerful gather, doing what they do. On the spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy, there's a parasite sucking. To pedophiles, government made Texas to pedophiles. From the ranches of New Mexico.
That is Matt Baker with paying taxes to pedophiles, because that's basically what we're doing. We're pedophile protectors at this point. So we got to ask ourselves, we going to let that continue or are we going to stop it? And the only way to stop it is to just keep piling it on. We can't stop. I want to go to, this is a report Alex did last night before he's going to take a couple days off. Of course, he'll be working. He doesn't take really a day off. He's always working, always getting information, spreading information, putting information out there for people. But he's going to go low-key for a couple days, try to get fully healed from his voice. And we can't wait. Today is his birthday, however. So he's 52, so he's a year older than me now, just for about a month and a half, or about a month and 10 days. Anyway, here is his report from last night dealing with the latest, moving on from the Epstein files. And it's got an interesting clip at the end that some people put out. Basically, some people in Ohio were going to their county commissioner's court. And this is part of this piling on the pedo tolerance level, reaching the pedo tolerance level, is going around and confronting these people and the people that are protecting them. So they went to their county commissioners and were asking, like, why are you accepting money from this guy who's literally a co-conspirator for child trafficking, child sex trafficking in the Epstein files? All right, here's that report.
We're moving on from that. Reagan.
Respected polling agencies like Rasmussen show that there is all-time high concern and focus by the American people on the Epstein cover-up. It's now become a national and global crisis. But the White House continues to try to gaslight. We're about to break it down right now. So the press secretary says that the White House and the administration want to move on from Epstein. Well, number one, that's not what the polls show. It's at all-time record interest. It's been a giant story for a decade. Since he killed himself, it's been one of the top stories, and now it is exponentially off the charts, ladies and gentlemen, and people are searching the name Donald Trump at record levels in association with it. And what's crazy is I've studied the thing for 18 years since it first broke. And it even came out in the new Epstein documents that Trump's the one that blew the whistle on him and got him arrested 18 years ago. Epstein told Michael Wolff, the big enemy of Trump, writing all those books against him, that no, he never saw the girls or got the massages, that he hated Trump, and that he knew Trump had been the one that dropped a dime on him. So why is Trump saying move on from it? Because it embarrasses a bunch of mainly Democrats, but also top Republicans like Howard Lutnick, and Trump thinks it'll kill the economy if the horrible stuff in there ever comes out. And it's coming out anyways. So Trump was never part of it, but now by extension has made himself part of it. Here's the deal. We're going to expose that. We're going to expose anybody in his orbit that's involved. But the news, the corporate media, and even the influencers are only focusing on Lutnick living next door and lying about going to the island, which should be looked at, and I think Lutnick should resign. But then when you've got cannibalism and money laundering and human trafficking and buying babies with top Democrats and Les Wexner, that I've been exposing for 18 years as being his handler, no one is going there. It's not getting any of the coverage that it deserves. So go after everybody that's guilty, but don't let the Democrat leadership sit there and focus in only on the Trump connections, which, again, are the weakest there, but still deserve to be covered. Anybody saying, hey, don't look at all this other certified, hardcore, insane stuff, only look at Trump and the cover-up, are involved in the main cover-up of the real crimes. The Justice Department is 100% covering this up. The Justice Department 100% cannot be trusted. And what do you expect from Todd Blanche, a Democrat Party lawyer? And that buck stops with Trump because he's the one that put him in there. And he's the one that removed Ed Martin, and he's the one killing all the indictments. And so at the end of the day, Trump has himself to blame for this. It's really sad because Trump has done so much good on so many fronts, getting us out of the carbon taxes, securing the border, getting $20 trillion investment back in the country, beginning to turn the economy around, cutting energy prices by 45%, finding half the 500,000 missing kids. He's put good people in, like RFK Jr., going after the poison shots and pulling fluoride out and the dyes and the chemicals. I mean, it's paradoxically so wonderful over here. And then Trump is going along with the power structure, just like he did with the COVID shots. It's really sad. So I'll celebrate the good and defend it, but I'll fight the evil. But no, as the numbers show from Rasmussen, who's got the most accurate polling out there, and Mark Mitchell, this is the opposite. America hasn't moved on. In fact, America is more concerned than ever. This is a major litmus test, and we're not going to be gaslit anymore, and we're not going to sleep. So Trump thinks we're going to move on. We're not. President Trump, this could destroy the country, destroy the West, and really destroy the world. This is causing a societal crisis because the public's uninformed and kind of in the dark on a lot of subjects. He doesn't pay attention. But on the Epstein case, they're informed. They're getting more informed with a minute. But the Democrats are misdirecting all of it and making it all about you. And you have created that vacuum. You've created the climate to allow that to happen.
And that remains true. And this call, if it did happen, corroborates exactly what President Trump has said from the beginning. And I'm sure many of you, when you read that alleged FBI report, probably thought to yourself, wow, this really cracks our narrative that we've been trying to push about this president for many years. So we're moving on from that. Reagan.
Mr. Speaker, yesterday, Congressman Massey and I went to the Department of Justice to read the unredacted Epstein files. We spent about 2 hours there, and we learned that 70 to 80% of the files are still redacted. In fact, there were six wealthy, powerful men that the DOJ hid for no apparent reason. When Congressman Massey and I pointed this out to the Department of Justice, they acknowledged their mistake, and now they have revealed the identity of these six powerful men. These men are Salvatore Navora, Zurab Mikolaj, Liepig Leonor, Nicola Caputa, Sultan Ahmed bin Suleyam, CEO of Dubai Ports World, and billionaire businessman Leslie Wexner, who was labeled as a co-conspirator by the FBI. Now, my question is, why did it take Thomas Massey and me going to the Justice Department to get these six men's identities to become public?
Les Wexner, though, is in a lot of trouble. He is the main handler, and then above that, the CIA, Bill Barr, and others. That's all on record. It goes back to George Herbert Walker Bush, the first hired Epstein of the CIA. So maybe the corporate media is blacking it out, but the villagers with their pitchforks in his local town are not. Here's a clip.
Leslie Wexner, who is part of a trifecta of sexual abuse scandals.
How you doing? Are we going to get some justice for the survivors, Mr. T-Berry? Survivors outside, are we going to get some justice for them? Mr. Johnson, you ever get tired of telling lies from these people? Hmm? You ever get tired of telling lies from these people?
I don't tell any lies.
You... Where's Wexner? What's he doing today?
You have to ask his people.
Well, his people right there. We're chairman, John Ziger, is his personal lawyer. Where's Wexner, Ziger? We got to get you straightened up, brother.
I don't think
it's a conflict of interest?
I speak for the university, the university.
How is this?
I'll talk to you later. This was fun.
Mr. Carpenter, we're going to get some justice for the survivors today.
Mr. Marshall,
I know you're.
This gentleman is here accosting people coming into the courtroom. This gentleman right here.
Should Wexner's name share the same line with a guy like Woody Hayes?
Well,
he also handpicked Mike Jeffries, the former Abercrombie CEO. He's been indicted for sexual trafficking, interstate prostitution. So that's the trifecta. Wexner.
That's not good.
Look, I don't have. If you. Listen, I think Wexner's been tied to Epstein the whole time. What do you expect? What do you expect?
I expect some people to talk about it, to get it in the media, to use your office. Leslie Wexner's been running around this city for 40 years, being a sex, in my opinion, being a sex criminal. And you guys act like you got no power. I put you on the spot, and oh, I'm just a lowly county commissioner. You're one of the most powerful people in this county, brother. And you're going to stand here and act, I'm a small bean? Don't play that act with me.
So I think it's wrong. I think that this needs to come to light. And somebody's got to step up and say, all right, this happened, and agree to it. But you know what's happening at the national level, what's happening here? They're hiding all this stuff. I think it's wrong.
Wexner facility, that name was put up there with Woody Hayes, the most prestigious name in university history. $5 million donation. 2.5 came from his wife. The other 2.5 came from Jeffrey Epstein, his foundation, which is Del Maxwell. 2.5.
If you want to forward that to me, I'll look at it.
And I'm giving you the heads up because there's a storm coming.
Well, then that's a problem for him if that's the case.
Yeah.
Do I like Les Wexner? I barely know the guy, but do
will
I,
you
like,
give his money
do I
back?
Like what he's done?
Will you give his money back? Your
he
campaign
gave me,
money?
He gave me money years ago.
Will you give it that money back to charity?
Sure.
All right, there we go. Thank you. Appreciate it. That's a sad state of affairs, brother.
So you can watch that and share that on X. White House claim that American people are ready to move on from Epstein firestorm is refuted by top pollster Rasmussen reports, showing the interest and concern is at all-time highs. I showed you that earlier. Here's one little bright spot, though. I mean, this isn't necessarily taking the money from the pedophiles, but here we have Senator John Kennedy. President Trump just signed my bill to stop sending checks to dead people. It's expected to save billions of taxpayer dollars. Wow. I mean, the fact that it's 2026 and we finally get a bill to not send money to dead people. Oh, isn't that amazing? Well, it's a start. It's a start. And better than we saw from Joe Biden. But this short song here, this is clip 7. This is a 3-part harmony for those of you keeping track at home of what, I think the American people are really feeling about, Epstein. And I did censor this for the on air audience. Here it is.
Burn every motherfucker on the Epstein list. Republican or Democrat, oh, I don't give a shit. You can bet your bottom dollar, they will not be missed. Burn every motherfucker that's on that Epstein list.
Hey!
That's it. That's all we want. We want people that have committed crimes to be held accountable, just like we are every time we speed or run a stop sign or park too long somewhere. You know, every little government minder wants to stick their thumb up our butts and look around every time we do something. So all we're asking for is the same accountability. It's not too hard. All right. Now let's cleanse the palate here. Maybe we'll get back to Epstein at some point, but I think we're done for now. This is clip 8. And go right to it. Don't sit me on the screen as you're playing it. It's only 20 seconds long. This is one of the good things AI is being used for, is to reimagine things. This is the thing reimagined as a 1980s children's cartoon. Here it is. That makes me happy, seeing things like that. The Thing was a movie I grew up with and watched many times. In fact, all of John Carpenter's movies seemed to be on HBO in the 80s, and The Thing was one of the best. Anytime that was on, I'm stopping and watching. I don't care what part it is, I'm watching The Thing. We did a few Thing videos. I think we stuck Hillary's head on the spider one time and had it during the 2016 election. Fun stuff. That's what AI should be used for. Here's an interesting one. Now, actually, I think on the next 5-minute segment, I'll play this guy's video. Austin Mann using AI as campaign manager for city council run. And I think this is, I don't know if anybody else has reported on this. Robert Jeb Costello has announced he's using artificial intelligence as his campaign manager, strategist, and fact checker for his run in Austin City Council District 5. I'll play that later. Interesting using AI as just your campaign manager. Probably saves on staff and waiting for volunteers to show up and help. So, but people are using AI for a lot of different things. I personally really like the 1980s Thing cartoon show. Let's see. Where do we go from here? All right, let's do this.
Oh, yeah, we got time. We're going to play the first five of Dr. John Coleman's speech. And Dr. John Coleman was an intelligence officer, and this is sometime during the Clinton administration, so it had been in the 90s. He came out and was talking about the Committee of 300. He wrote a book called The Committee of 300. And basically what it is, I'll paraphrase, and then we'll go to his speech, because he kind of puts it very eloquently. The British East India Company made a crap ton of money back in the day. And the people that ran that British East India Company decided, hey, we have so much frickin' money, we can kind of fade into the background and then have people underneath us. So if you were to look at the capstone of the pyramid, that's the Committee of 300 up there. And then it comes down. And then down here is us holding it up, propping up this facade. And then somewhere mixed in there with all the other criminals are the pedophiles and the government officials and the police and all the other people and the politicians. And of course, mixed with lots of pedophiles. So that's that. So this is clip 13. We're only going to play the first 5 minutes of it. But this is a really, really good speech. I actually posted the whole thing on band.video. We'll show you where that is when we come back. Here it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, I bring you a message of hope, not fear. A message that I hope will galvanize us all into much needed action. The problem is quite simple. Anarchy and chaos prevails in Washington, D.C. because the federal government has seized powers to which it is not entitled to and is passing masses of laws that are 100% unconstitutional. And when you get men setting themselves up as greater than the Constitution of the United States, you get anarchy and eventually tyranny. It's taken me 25 years to come to the conclusion that I have come to. And I want to tell you that one of the biggest things I discovered in my work was the existence of a supranational committee composed of 300 men. I came across this quite by accident when I was serving in Africa, in Angola, and I was given a series of documents which were only supposed to be handed in to top-level people. They were what we call above the top level of classification of intelligence documents. And there I discovered that whilst I thought I was in Africa fighting against the invasion of the communists, I was, in fact, fighting to introduce socialist regimes in the black African countries, and that I was actually working for a committee called the Committee of 300, also known in intelligence circles as the Olympians. In my book, The Committee of 300, which took 20 years of research, and incidentally, I was only a little bit behind with Karl Marx. He spent 30 years in the British Museum in London, where he got most of his things from. I point out that the British East India Company was the most powerful trading company in the world. They made their massive monies out of the dope trade. They first grew prime poppies in Kew Gardens in Kensington, London, got the best producing opium poppies. They then shipped them to Benares in India, where they began a massive plantation of poppies, opium producing poppies. They then used their famous tea clippers to transport the poppies in the form of raw opium to China. And by their military force, they imposed an opium policy on China that turned the Chinese nation into a nation of addicts. And they enforced this policy, which was known to the royal family and Lord Gladstone, the Prime Minister, and every one of the lords and ladies in England. And they made a massive, huge fortune. In researching these documents in India House in London, I came across some of the manifests of the old tea clippers and the numbers of kegs of opium they carried and the values. And I totaled up these things, and I found to my astonishment that if we took 1970 as an optimum year for profits in General Motors and Ford, in 1 year, the opium trade with China was three times the profits of the combined profits of Ford and General Motors in 1970. And this was shared by 300 people. That was the committee that ran the British East India Company. They all had equal voting rights. They could not outvote each other, and of course they were sworn to secrecy. The descendants of the British East India Company today run the United States. These 300 men in the Committee of 300 still run the world today with an iron fist. Their wealth is untold, cannot be measured. I know I looked at some of the records that I could find in Italy, in Rome. I've done most of my work on location, and this has always been invaluable to me. And I came across the families in Italy who were called the Fondi, meaning the people who had all the money. They were all members of the Committee of 300, the Lucatis, the Recanatis, the Valpi du Miseratis. These people are so wealthy that they would make David Rockefeller look like a piker. That is how rich they are. And this is the committee that runs the world. Now, in my book, The Committee of 300, I name every one of them. This is not a book that talks about they. It gives you specifics. And I must say, I do the same thing in my new book, Socialism, The Road to Slavery, which was 10 years in researching. On July the 4th, 1789, George Washington told the Congress, it is necessary for us to impose tariffs to protect the manufactories of our colonies. That was the first trade barrier. Now, let us dispose for once and for all with the words that have been implanted on our minds, like isolationist, and you are for restricted trade, and you are against global trade. The United States of America did not grow great on global trade. The United States of America grew...
I thought that part was pretty interesting. George Washington was the first guy to start tariffs, and he did that to protect businesses in the colonies. There you can find it on InfoWars Legends, that channel on band.video. And if you go to... I'm going to repost this on X right now, but there you can find his book. Literally, it's on the CIA website, the link to that. So I'll put that out now. We got a whole bunch of a show. We got a bunch of guests coming up, actually. This next hour is going to be filled with guests. And, man, crazy times we're living in, people. But let's keep the pressure up. Let's not get defeatist. Let's keep fighting. That's what we're meant to do. We'll be right back. You're watching The War Room.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
down and two more to go. You're watching The War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. You can follow me on X at Dew's News. I actually just tweeted out the link to the book, The Committee of 300, that is weirdly on the CIA website. I don't know if that puts you on a list when you grab it, but I posted a link to it. And also to the video that was on X, but now it's also on ban.video. You can follow me at DEWSNEWZ. Some sad news. James Vanderbeek, dead at 48. Actually ran into him at Dale Bigtree's birthday over the summer, and he looked good. I had no idea he had cancer, and then I saw a video of him a couple months ago, and he did not look good. And I don't know. I don't know if he took the vaccine or not, but James Vanderbeek has made the jump into light space. I covered this article just a little bit. Austin man using AI as campaign manager for city council run. There's a video on InfoWars. You can go there and watch his one of his campaign videos and learn more about him. And this talks about why he's using artificial intelligence. He doesn't need a staff of 10 or $100,000 slush fund. So saving money already using AI. Let's see what he has to say. This is Jeb Costello.
How do you use Gemini AI, people? What do you use artificial intelligence for while you're at home? Is it for filling out a resume, for finishing an email? Maybe a class you don't feel like you can pass without its help. We use AI for a lot of things. But I, Robert Jeb Costello, had decided to use it to run my campaign for Austin City Council's District 5. Yes, I'm going to use Gemini AI to run for Austin City Council District 5. Strategist, campaign manager, fact checker, you name it, he'll be doing the job. I don't need a staff of 10. I don't need $100,000 slush fund. I don't need to be handpicked by developers to run for office. I am doing this on my own out of the dislike I have for what's going on in our city right now. I'm an imperfect person with an imperfect life, but I've got nothing to hide. I don't have a $6.2 million defaulted loan on something he's calling himself, on his bio, a developer. You're a failed developer. Now, I may have been a failed person in the past, but I'm no longer a failed person. I'm not in recovery. I'm in momentum. I live my life 5 minutes at a time. I can fix this city 5 minutes at a time, y'all. We don't need Ryan Adlers in this world spinning their political spin. We need a hardworking guy like me right in the office. I'll work 19 hours a day for you. I'll ride the bus to work. I'll ride the bus home. I'm Pepper Brooks, a.k.a. Robert Jeb Costello, running for Austin City Council, District 5. Yeah.
All right. There he is. I guess that's one of his campaign launch videos. I believe he's trying to get some signatures to get on the ballot. So if you're interested in seeing somebody who could be a disruptor, I'm interested in seeing somebody go into the Austin City Council who is definitely not someone you would typically see in the Austin City Council, because it's filled with developers and developers' friends, and they seem to think the only good Austin is a destroyed old building and building a new high-rise over top of it. So interesting. We'll see what happens. We'll be tracking that. And will this lead to a larger trend of people using AI when they run for office? You know, this, as far as I know, this is the first case we've seen of that happening. So it'll be interesting to see if that catches on and more people are using AI. Because I think to search vast areas of the web, AI is very useful. It's very quick, very efficient. I use it to do things like that, to track a bunch of different things, like, say, looking up, you know, what are the traffic patterns at this time normally? And boom, it'll look through and go, yeah, it's going to be pretty good here, but not good here. So I've used AI for different things. I don't use it to make life-changing decisions or anything, but, you know, make a checklist for this. I'll use it for stuff like that. So interesting to see what will happen with the AI revolution. When we come back after this break, we're going to have Sean Stryker on with restore-america.org. And I have a whole mess of files over here I'm going to pull over, and we're going to talk about how we can save this republic, because that's what we're into. That's why you're here. All right. Looking for solutions, not just talking about the problems. You're watching The War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Thank you for joining us. We'll be right back.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Rob Dew. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, everyone, to The War Room as we kick off the second hour. My guest is Sean Stryker of restore-america.org, and we're going to talk about the current government that we exist in now and how we can change that. If you go to their website, restore-america.org, they, under their FAQ, they have, what is the Restore America plan? And it says, in 1928, the War Department issued a field training manual, 2000 to 2025, on citizenship and how to return a Republican form of constitutional government from a democracy. General Douglas MacArthur studied under this manual. In 1932, Franklin Delano Roosevelt orders the training manual and all negative references to a democracy destroyed with no explanation. 1945, Douglas MacArthur created Project Blue Book, where he handpicked a few of the brightest special forces and trained them in nation building and the Constitution. The men who participated in Project Blue Book formed the Restore American Plan. In 2009, those that studied under General MacArthur and the Restore America Plan initiated the resettling of the counties and states via original jurisdiction assemblies. The Michigan General Assembly adjourned the Congress Sandia in March 14, 1861 session. It brought forward to 2010 and scheduled the next meetings proper each month since to today's interim status of 2011. Notice was given to the POTUS, Michigan Governor et al., and remains unrebuttaled through December 2011. So with that, let's bring on our guest, Sean Stryker, who joins us via Zoom. How are you doing today, Sean?
Hold on for a second, guys.
Okay, he's not ready yet? Okay. Well, here's another one. I was going to ask him about this, but I'll just read these off to you. So the United States exists in two forms. The original Union of States that was in operation until March 14, 1861 is a collection of sovereign republics in the Union. That was the original, the Confederation. Under the original Constitution for the United States of America, the states controlled the federal government, and the federal government did not control the states and had very little authority. That's why you had the 10th Amendment, states' rights. The original United States offices are occupied by a separate and different United States formed in 1871. That was after the Civil War, which only controls the District of Columbia and its territories, and which is actually a corporation, the United States Corporation, that acts as our current government. The United States Corporation operates under Roman civil, corporate, commercial, public law rather than common private law. And that basically goes into why the Constitution became dormant, which happened under President Lincoln. He executed some executive orders to basically change the form of government and to take more of a federal domination approach to that. Is he ready? Okay. Sean, how are you doing today?
Doing good, Rob. Good to see you.
Yep. So why don't you break right into it? We got about 19 minutes left. Where do you want to go with telling people how they could take their government back?
Well, first, I want to put some disclaimers out here. This is, I'm getting this in before someone calls it sovereign citizen slop or before someone calls it anti-Semitic slop, because the hardest thing now in doing research is that when you go on to Grok or any AI, we're fighting against AI that labels it something, even if you get it off National Archives or off of different congressional records and things of that sort. So if that's going to deter you from doing research, then our knowledge probably isn't going to be for you. You got to go and actually do the reading and apply the knowledge. And sometimes you might, you know, have a roadblock come up. You got to learn how to get around that. So, there's a point, Rob, where in the Declaration of Independence, it reads that good men will suffer evil while evil is sufferable. I think the American people have hit that point.
Yep.
And the big psyop our culture has been doing has been chipping away from the power of the people lawfully assembled to a point where they tell you that your freedom to assemble is to protest and stomp your feet with posters. I referenced that before, but they leave the last part of the First Amendment out. And this always ticks off people who want to like dominate a conversation. The last part of the First Amendment is to petition for redress of grievances. That means you got to give someone a written instrument to correct their actions before you ever jump to the Second Amendment. But everybody wants to jump to the Second Amendment because emotionally it feels good.
Right. Let's go back to that and look at that. So a petition of redress or grievances, that's not carrying a sign out there that has your, you know, fascist government or whatever, or ICE go home. You actually have to write something out and present that. Now, how would people do that?
Well, there's different petitions. That's the thing. They're also, someone earlier used the term prayer, and when he was in front of a city council, they do that like in India, for example, under their common law. You also have pleads. You seek redress. In a biblical tradition, which is where this all comes from, you always have the prophet go and warn the city or the king that he's doing evil before God brings his wrath down. The wrath would be the equivalent of the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do not tell someone that in their office they're either doing overreach or they're abusing funds or whatever, and they need to correct their actions, you're actually in the wrong because you're blindsiding them. I know that sounds like we're making excuses for them. We're not. We're explaining what due process is. If we want due process, you have to render due process. And that's something that's key that got us into this mess. When that Civil War kicked off and the South walked out on Congress, it went into abeyance. It went into sine-die status. Martial law is not how you close out a session of Congress. So when they did the Labor Code on top of that, it had a stipulation. When the people lawfully return to self-governance by peaceably assembling, they will be able to once again have that say of government. And everything since then has been a soft martial law under Labor Code. That's why a lot of people are convinced the military will save the day. It's because they are the soft caretakers. But the way they did that, and again, you got to do the research. You go down to the Organic Act 1871. They corporatized the country. The Virginia Company and the Dutch East India Company that you referenced in that previous clip were merged and actually absorbed our country. And our country is being ran since by the bar attorneys on behalf of our military as a corporation. So when Trump talks about the economy, that's his concern. He's a chief service administrator for this economy, this corporation. The people issues are at a state level. We need to deal with it at state level and county level. So we have to actually lawfully assemble and tell our local officials what we expect of them. And we can also do this nationally, and this has been done nationally on a few occasions. This is why it may sound wonky, but if you remember, Trump was in England. His carriage went ahead of King Charles. He went ahead of Queen Elizabeth years ago. That was to show that he is leading the free world now. We are not being, we're not under the thumb of the British crown anymore. So if the people want to get justice for the Epstein victims, you need to find out which states and counties this trafficking occurred at and start there locally. Get your state on board. You know, if you want to have justice, this government's abdicated justice. If this government's not going to stop your house from burning down, you got to get the hose and you got to put the fire out. Am I making sense here, Rob?
No, that's why I'm letting you flow. We played a video earlier in Alex Jones Report, and at the end of it, I'm like, hey, you need to throw to this video because this is what we need to do. And it's people going into the town where Les Wexner is from, Leslie Wexner, and going to their county officials and their city councils and like, hey, are you going to talk about this? Are you going to take this guy's name off of these statues? Because just because he gave money
to these things. And now we know he's a pedophile, or at least a sex trafficker, a co-conspirator listed in the Epstein files. Maybe we should like remove his name from everything, and people should give back money that he's given them. So I think that's one way to start. And they seem to be, they're petitioning their government orally, not necessarily with written notes, but so are you saying like people need declarations that they're writing and then handing in before they say things like, what's the first step people should do when say they're going to their county commissioners meeting and they want to get fluoride out of the water? Let's start with that.
Good example. We actually been talking about that out here in California, and also at the national-assembly.net website. We've talked about that because if you remember, Rob, you're old enough like I am. We remember when counties and states were banning fluoride in the water, mm-hmm. and then these corporations as contractors would sneak it back in the back door. Well, our elected public servants are responsible for how they spend those budgets to us, which means if we don't approve of that corporation dumping those chemicals in the water, they need to terminate those contracts. We need to call them for that. So where we first can envision it, if you can have a yard sale or you can have a bake-off, well, guess what? You can get 20, 30 people into a room. We can get you guys the knowledge of how to lawfully assemble. You publish the notice. Nobody's ever rebutted our notices because it's lawfully done. And once you have standing, you represent the interests of your community, whether it be at your state or county level. From there, the key thing is you're not going to be trespassing into their building too much. You're going to read them the notice that you exist, you're on record. If you give somebody a notice and it's a personal notice that you're tied to that issue, you could be caught up in their web. I'm going to leave it politely. Or you could be disappeared by way of the guys that are at the doorway, if you get what I mean. So usually you would have someone deliver that notice. There's ways to do that safely, and there's also ways to do that electronically. You want to do the 1-2 punch. They have no excuse that they did not receive your message. This term, you've seen it on rent, on contracts, on all kinds of things. When they want to send you a bill, notice to agent is notice to principal. Well, guess what? If you give it to the secretary, she has to give it to her boss, the mayor, or the board of supervisors, or whoever. And notice to agent, notice to principal. So that means everybody in the chain of command has to know what the instructions from the public is. But if you do it as a lone person, yeah, you might get some results, but they look at it as the voice crying in the wilderness. They don't look at it as the voice of the community. Now, when I put the term community out there, you know, the Democrats are really good about organizing like this, grassroots. For a state to actually start itself off and get up and running, you only need the equivalent of a grand jury, 27 people and 4 alternates. That's only 31 people in a whole state just to start the ball rolling. And then you want to essentially be able to populate each county with a trial jury to hear whatever the state brings to that county. So that's 13 people. So it's not that hard. You get 3/4 of your counties populated. You actually will be in an interim status waiting for the other states to catch up. Meanwhile, you'll have a vote in a national assembly. And we actually have people right now, Destry Payne up in Alaska, Destry Payne for AK governor. I sent your screener that info. He's going to actually work as a governor who knows how to interface with the General Assembly, because Governor Dunleavy previously did 4 instructions that the Alaska General Jural Assembly at Alaska De Jure, DEJURE.org, had sent him. And then the last 3 he did not perform. So for some reason he got cold feet, or he quit listening to we the people. Well, at the end of the day, if your governor isn't listening to you, you need to replace him. And you can hold him in breach of contract if you wish, because he's not following his constitutional oath to listen to his constituents.
And that's easier said than done when you're dealing with that money. But so your first step, you're saying publish something. So that's in a newspaper. You publish a notice, and you have a notice, yeah. And you have a group, whatever the group's name is, they're putting that. And then you also take that notice and you email and mail, so process server or registered mail, mm-hmm. to these people, and then also email it to their offices. There's actually, you were talking about those committees. The states in red are actually in committee. Guys, roll over the states. You can actually see what it says under each of the states' names. So there's red states, and the blue states are the ones that are not in. Yeah, see, Texas, we need you. Please click on your state to fill out the registration form. You'd be willing to be a state coordinator. So it's interesting that California is one of the states. Did you have a lot of work doing that to get it into the National Assembly?
We had a fair amount of work, Rob, but you know, nothing good happens for free. And I don't mean that in way of paying dues. Anyone who's trying to tell you to change your Social Security and change your status or charge you for seminars or anything. They're misleading you. We teach this knowledge for free, and there have been some companies and groups out there that run off with it and try to trademark it and copyright it and pose in our stead. And as a result, they don't realize our stuff's been backdated, notarized, witnessed, signed off on. So if we wanted to step into a court battle, we'd have the standing and win. But that's, you know, a sidetrack from us assembling We the People, because it's We the People returning to self-governance, not We the Personalities governing us from D.C. with a circus that you're seeing. That's the key thing. If we expect people over on another city halfway across the country or farther to represent us, they're not going to represent us because they're not here half the time. If at all, you know, my area, out in LA County, Maxine Waters, she's notorious for not living too much of her time in her district. So how does she really know what people out there in Torrance are up to?
Well, she only represents mail-in voters that don't exist anyway. So that's probably part of her problem. So I guess if people were to go after Epstein and his crimes and at least get accountability for it, you've got New Mexico, you've got Florida, and you've got New York, where his three main operating bases. So those would be the places where people could petition their, I guess, start with the county, right? Start with their county officials and go from there?
Well, we would prefer you create your assembly at a state level to create a spine, and then each of your counties, you think of as your ribs or your flesh as you wrap that, you know, skeleton in more and more meat. That spine plugs you into national. So that way you're able to attend the conference calls, get the educational knowledge, because the people who have experience and have gone through things are there. People who, for all intents and purposes, they've exposed that the attorneys, most of them are redcoats. Any attorney who says they're working for our country, a lot of them are kind of twisting and bending that. When you are an attorney who does something good for this country, like Rudy Giuliani did with election integrity, look what they did. They suspended his bar card. So he's not allowed to practice, you know, law, because he's part of their club, and he kind of was ratting out the system, this corporation that they put in our government. Corporations are meant to grow. The problem is this corporation doesn't want to be pruned like Doge was doing. Doge is exactly what We the People should be doing, can be doing, and have the lawful authority to do when our assemblies decide to convene a proper common law grand jury, as opposed to, say, a militia or a committee of correspondence or whatever breakdowns come from your assembly. So I don't know if that I made sense there, but basically Elon just showed the country what we can do. And just by exposing inaccuracies in someone's records from whether they misfile the taxes for a corporation or they're embezzling money like in Minneapolis, all these different things being exposed right there, if the public officials don't correct it, that tells you you can vote them out or, again, get them breach of contract because they're not honoring their oath of office. That's a That whole thing right there is like a whole 20 minutes we can go into if we chose to. But again, some of this knowledge is the stuff that gets people disappeared late night on the highways because it shakes up the system too much. So I don't know how into the weeds you want to go, Rob, but the basic thing is the American people need to unite. And this red versus blue, this Jew versus Catholic, this Muslim versus Protestant, all of this stuff, everything is a weapon to divide us. United we stand, divided we fall. We have to assemble, not disassemble. As Thomas Paine, said, you know, in the background that I have, you know, the job of a patriot is to protect the people from their government. So our government is what needs to be harnessed. And like a horse going off a cliff, we need to pull back on the reins. Serving them notice is a first step. Letting them know that, okay, now we know we've served you notice and you still didn't correct yourself. Now you've opened yourself up for corrective actions. And again, that's more stuff we can get in the weeds with. I prefer to tell people how to use the sheriff because that's a easy concept everyone can understand. A sheriff, if he's willing to take on Secret Service, could theoretically arrest a president in their county. A sheriff there in Florida could theoretically have arrested Jeffrey Epstein long before Pam Bondi did anything or long before it became a national news story. But those sheriffs in Florida, some of them are known to look the other way. Or maybe they themselves were compromised. So we have to consider that, too. Is your sheriff, do you actually know his name? Do you actually know what he's up to?
That seems to be the issue. Most of these elected officials and all their are public servants. I guess we should call them public servants because that's what they are. They seem to be above reproach. They don't want to be talked down to. They don't like their citizens, and they'd rather just kind of run their scams without any accountability or any oversight. And I think that's a lot of what we're dealing with. So we got about 4 minutes left, and I got another guest jumping on to talk about the mass shooting that took place in Canada, in British Columbia. But you sent me a document or just a graphic. It says Article 1 is the right to assemble. Article 2 is the right to bear arms. If we fail to assemble, then the arms come into play. So what do you mean by that, if we fail to assemble?
Well, I don't know, Rob, how good your memory is, but I know you guys at InfoWars had a presence at the Bundy standoff in Nevada.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I was there. I wasn't there, but I remember that.
Yeah. And members of the National Assembly were there as well. When I talk about, getting a sheriff involved, did not Sheriff Lombardo turn Barack Obama's BLM back to DC and get Clive and Bundy's cattle returned to him?
Yeah.
All that took was the intervention of a sheriff telling federal agents to go away. Let's not have a bloodbath, and I'm going to honor my constituents and bring back his cattle, and you guys can handle this in the courts like gentlemen, which, that was the moment, by the way, in my opinion, that Barack Obama went overdrive, and whether you want to call us Tea Party, MAGA, whatever, we actually had a good win. And from that point on, if you notice, it's like Merrick Garland, Barack Obama, the Clintons, everybody has turned on the heat against anybody who was promoting and pushing the Constitution, be it you guys at InfoWars,
sure,
be it Ron Paul. That was like it turned it up because we had a win, and it was a highly visible win.
And Bundy was like, what, 2013? When was that?
I want to say 2012, 2013. Also about the time, Obama had done in 2012 the Smith Modernization Act.
Right.
We removed that. If we assemble nationally, we can give a directive to the Chief Service Administrator of the United States Corporation, one Donald John Trump, to remove that particular Smith Modernization Act. We repeal that. No more propaganda towards our kids, which means no more drag queen story time, or no more America is bad, or no more America was not a Christian nation. And I'll throw this too, this Jew versus Christian divide. People are forgetting that Haim Soliman was the main guy to get funds to Morris so we could have a Continental Army that was armed. He got the funds from the Rothschilds and the Sassoons. So, they're still bad guys, but Haim Soliman worked himself to death. The guy died from tuberculosis going up and down the East Coast. So when people want to, split hairs about America's history, Maryland was founded by Catholics. Pennsylvania is the Quakers. We have a rich history of all the people of all these different backgrounds uniting together and telling their government officials, this will stand or this will not stand.
Right.
And the key thing, when I bring up the point about the sheriffs, the public officials don't want to hear it. If we give them a remedy that makes them look good, like the guy earlier saying return the funds to charity, there you go. There's your remedy. The guy can take the funds from abuse, that he got from Wexner. He can give it to a group that does, work with women who've been victimized and trafficked. This way, you don't pocket it because that puts the IRS spotlight on you. Some people earlier in different movements like this have done that, where they're like, well, we'll take the money or we'll take it in silver or whatever. Yeah, now the IRS goes and audits you and you go to jail for tax evasion.
Yeah, and what's interesting is in 2013, that's when they opened the investigation into Alex Jones. So Obama and Comey definitely saw Alex as a tip of the spear then, because we were one of the big spotlights over there during the Bundy action. So with that, where can people find more? We got about 30 seconds left. Sean Stryker, where can people find more information and learn about this? Because it seems to be a very dense topic. It's kind of hard to cover it in 20 minutes, but we'll do our best.
Yeah, and I'll call in as long as you guys will have me to give more nuggets and knowledge. National-assembly.net is over 10 years of knowledge in the forums. It's a little bit of an old school website, but if you dig through there, you'll find links. And every now and then I drop stuff in.
All right, thanks for joining us.
I have told the folks at Bigley, I said, I want to have the widest selection of combat daggers, trench knives, folding knives, you name it, that are high quality brands that you buy in bulk that are very competitively priced, and then support the broadcast because I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives that I went out and told them what brands I liked, what was going on, and they were able to get it. And so a bunch of the knives that sold out a few months ago, they're back in, and then these bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is forest green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. This is a great knife. This knife sells in stores for $75 all day long. We're selling it for 40-something and even bigger discounts, up to 50% off right now. Some of these knives are as low as $20 a piece. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. Go there now. We've got also the Murdered Out Black, and I love how it's that Kydex, and it's got that real fine engraving on it, so it gives you that great feeling, that great, because I got sent hundreds of knives from dozens of companies, and I'm the one that chose all these. And these are from really good companies, really good quality, and it's just a great deal. And so do your knife shopping at theyellowstonestore.com. But let me tell you what's back in stock. We have the new ones, Alex Jones Blackout Folding Knife, 7.65 assisted opening folding knife, 3.5 high carbon Damascus blade, 1095 plus 515 N20. This is all quality. D2 steel, black PVD coating, and stonewash finish, 3.3 millimeter black thickness, black G10 handle for a secure grip, 15.5 millimeter handle thickness for confident hand feel, ball bearing pivot system for smooth deployment. I mean, it's a nice quality knife. All black, blackout finished. I call it Murdered Out. Fast, decisive, assisting, operating, limited production, move before it sells out. And then we've got the same knife, but it's silver blade folding knife. If you like that, it's got a nice little hook on the end, so you can tie it to things. The forest green folding knife that is my close second, really a sexy knife. Same as the other one, it's just got that forest green. Call it forest, it's kind of like an in-between forest and olive, but it's nice. Kind of Border Patrol. I call it Border Patrol green. Let's change the name, Border Patrol green. That's actually what it is. This bad boy. These all sold out, but they always hold back a few hundred in case orders come in later or whatever. So tip of the spear, Spartan, trench knife with brass knuckles, Murdered Out, and the Skull Crusher. A few hundred of those. They held back a few of these. It had sold out, but there's about 200 left. The Blast Fire with this beauty limited edition. That funds the operation as well. It's a little different. The Skull Crusher is as big. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. This has been sold out. They only got 500 of these the first run. Sold out in one day. It is back. They got 1,000 of them. And it's just a great knife. Really sleek, but really strong. Very well made. And you've got it in orange. Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. I like that. Now we've got the Alex Jones Ring Blade. This sold out the quickest last time. That's an amazing product. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue and take advantage of the very best supplements in the world. We'll be right back. Thanks for funding the Second American Revolution worldwide.
It's obviously a very difficult day for the nation. This morning, parents, grandparents, sisters, brothers in Tumbler Ridge will wake up without someone they love. The nation mourns with you. Canada stands by you. I want to thank and pass on a number of world leaders have reached out directly to me in solidarity and compassion. France, United Kingdom, His Majesty himself, Norway, Finland, India, United Arab Emirates, many others. The world is with you. I have spoken to Premier Eby, Minister of Public Safety has been engaged, as have many Canadian officials over the evening. Minister of Public Safety is en route to British Columbia. He and the Premier will be visiting the community. All assistance, obviously, will be offered. We thank the first responders, the teachers, the staff, the residents, for everything that they've done in this terrible situation. On the advice of the clerk of the Privy Council and Heritage Canada, I've asked that the flags in the Peace Tower here and across all government buildings be flown at half-mast for the next 7 days. We will get through this, we will learn from this, but right now it's a time to come together, as Canadians always do in these situations, these terrible situations, to support each other, to mourn together, and to grow together. Alors, ce matin...
All right, and well, he didn't call for gun grabbing right there, but we know that's coming. I think there's maybe five guns left in Canada, and obviously this transgender shooter had one of them. My next guest, Kelsey Sheeran, wrote, "Canada doesn't have a gun problem. We have a liberal mindset problem, the kind that tells children they're broken and in the wrong body, the kind that over-medicates and affirms mental illness. Wake up, people. This isn't about Northern community having guns. It's about a broken system that cuts children's breast off, social transitions them, provides hormone blockers, and says, now they're fixed. Our children are not okay." And apparently this monster, before killing the kids in the school, shot his mother and his brother and sister, who also affirmed his gender as a her. Even the Associated Press is affirming her gender. So I'm bringing on Kelsey Sheeran right now. She's a combat veteran and a mental performance coach, and she's the host of the Kelsey Sheeran Perspective and best-selling author, and she writes extensively on Substack of the Medical Overreach. Kelsey, how are you doing today?
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, and normally you're talking about people trying to kill old people into life prematurely, but now we've got this going on, and it's crazy. The numbers, the transgenders are quickly overpowering everyone in their mass death stats. And it's kind of sickening.
Yeah, it's not a shock, though. Let's be honest. Canada has changed its medical definition around trauma and transgenderism to be affirm only. So we get to the point now where doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists are not allowed to actually address the root cause of these problems, but they are to only address and affirm and then provide medication. We're not like America. We don't have a strong prime minister or somebody with a backbone that understands that when you give young-minded individuals the option to either cut their breasts off or socially transition or change their chemical makeup, we don't have somebody that's willing to put the brakes on that. You know, there's a lot of people in our community who speak about this issue, but we are often very much seen as bigots or right-wing conspiracy or Trumpers because, you know, we have Trump drain syndrome up here going through the water. The hardest part about this story is this is in my home province. We don't have gun violence, so let's be very clear. It's very rare when gun violence goes off. That could be because they've taken all of our guns and our rights to have them. But this individual lived up in a very northern BC community, British Columbia. Guns are very normal up there. Hunting's very normal up there. They have grizzly bears. They have big animals. It's not a surprise that guns were readily available. So I like to be very clear. This is not a gun problem. But mark my words, Mark Carney will use it to eradicate any sort of gun rights allowance in Canada at all. And then we have our the protocols of our psychologists and psychiatrists who have no backbone and believe that giving young 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds hormone blockers, SSRIs, antipsychotics, and then telling them, no, you feel fine. You'll feel fine once you take more of these drugs. And Polypharma has come in and run rampant on our young men and women and told them that they're in the wrong body. I make it very clear, girls are girls, boys are boys, and you are never born in the wrong body. But now this is going to be seen as a hateful message towards the trans community. Here's the truth. The RCMP, which are our federal police, are unwilling to acknowledge that this was a man, a biological man, who decided to wake up one day after being out of school for several years, after socially transitioning and being transitioned by his mother, which is, it's so hard to state because he then turned the gun on his mother and his young brother, and then decided to go off to the school where he wasn't attending and end the lives of a ton of children who did not deserve any of this whatsoever. But this is what happens when you affirm mental illness, you do not hit it face on, you do not address the root issue, and you go along with this social contagion. And frankly, it's not a surprise. In Canada, I'm just shocked it took this long.
Yeah, and you sent me a bunch of posts, and one is from a see you later
She's sitting in the Vancouver Children's Hospital with her daughter, who was shot in the head and neck, to the head and one to the neck. So shot twice, and she was lucky to live. And there's a, I guess, a GoFundMe to this kid has already raised $42,000, which, I mean, this is just so sad. These, and what do we have? It's a, it is a mental illness problem. It's definitely not a gun problem. People catering to this child's needs, or what it wants. It's not its needs. It's wants. It thinks it needs this because it's been told on the internet. If you don't, if you feel uncomfortable in your skin, well, you're in the wrong body. And that's where it starts. It starts with that, and not defining that as a mental illness, but something that can be corrected with mental illness drugs and surgeries that they don't necessarily need.
Right. And I've been working in the mental health space. I'm a combat veteran. I've been on 11 different of these pharmaceutical drugs, but I'm also an addiction and psychedelic specialist. And I work with plant medicine to help people heal and get off of polypharma. So one of the things I think would be really important to address is that this young man who decided to, let's be very clear, wake up one day and go end the lives of people he had no business being near at this point, was also searching on Reddit regularly. And we have the Reddit post in my Substack that I posted today about him, where he was actively seeking out things like 5-MeO-DMT, as well as psilocybin and other psychedelics. Now, I don't like to criminalize or talk negatively about them, because there is a right way to use psychedelics. They have been hugely beneficial. Heroic Hearts Project in America, Vet Solutions. You've heard the word Ibogaine being thrown around. These psychedelics can heal the mind and the body with the right candidate when you're not on a pharmacology, you know, cocktail like this, in the right set and setting, if you are not an individual who is struggling with mental health already, i.e. schizophrenia or bipolar. Now, this individual that we're speaking about right now, Jesse, he has self-admittedly been in the psych ward, and I have the screenshot here, and I'm just going to read it quickly because he describes it himself. Hi, I'm going to keep this brief. At 4 a.m., I got out of the psych ward like a month ago, and I'm here now. I'm not schizophrenic, unlikely to be bipolar, but I was diagnosed with ADHD, MDD, ASD, and OCD. I tried shrooms once, and it was a small unmeasured dose as a and it was chill. The second time, I took 3 grams, and then I had a complete break from reality. Now, that alone right there tells you this is not a candidate, outside of everything else, for psychedelics. Already struggling with gender ideology is a huge problem right there, because the amount of SSRIs this individual was on, self-admittingly in his own posts on Reddit, was over 280 milligrams of sertraline. Now, at my height of my illness, I was on 150 milligrams. Now, that is a heavy, heavy dose to be combining with something like 5-MeO-DMT, which is one of the strongest psychedelics in the globe, as well as psilocybin. Again, all of these psychedelics can heal people in the right set and setting with the right protocol, right integration, if you are a candidate. This young man was not a candidate. He should never have had access to these. I have a couple questions. I want to know where he's getting the, where he got the DMT from, number one. And number two, I want to know why at all, and we can't ask her because sadly she was killed by him, why at all the mother decided to allow such behavior in her home. And I know people are going to say that's aggressive. That's, you know, you shouldn't be addressing that, but we should, because this is not a gun problem. This is what happens when a healthcare system, or whatever Canada's example of a healthcare system is now, tells kids that they're in the wrong body, affirms mental illness, gives them a incredibly large cocktail of pharmacology, and then sends them on their merry way. I'd like to know who the doctor is that was working with Jesse. I'd like to know how this person described and prescribed all of these medications, because dosage after dosage after dosage, this person, there's no wonder there was a psychotic break. We don't actually know, because he's now dead and we can't ask him. But what we can tell you is that there is a massive effort right now on X and other platforms by these pro-trans communities saying that the victim was actually Jesse. The victim was not Jesse. Jesse was the victim of a broken system, a broken healthcare system. But the victims are his mother, his brother, and every single child he turned the gun on. Canada doesn't have stuff like this, but we will see now what Mark Carney does. That is the, by the way, the first time I've ever seen Mark Carney act like a human being. But let's be very clear. The RCMP are calling the shooter a woman. The media are calling the shooter a woman. And if you even pop into ChatGPT to try to type something up or find something, they make it clear this was a woman. It was not a woman. This was a man who started transitioning around the age of 12 and was affirmed by a bunch of other adults who had probably their own mental illnesses and then allowed this behavior to exist. And in 2023, he started identifying fully as a female and nobody had a problem with saying anything. And this is a small community of 2,500 people. This is where the majority of everybody knew every single child. So I want to make it clear, this is not about Jesse. Jesse is not the victim. The victim are the people that he turned the gun on. And we should be addressing him as him because he is the shooter, not a girl in a dress who shot up a school. This is somebody with a mental illness that had gone unchecked, unlooked after, and then integrated into a society and told that we are all supposed to believe his new reality. And I'm not for it at all.
I agree. And you're not going to see the media, especially in Canada and the United States, do anything, talk about the type of antipsychotic drugs or, as we like to call them, mass murder suicide pills that this young man was on. And because they're basically funded by the pharmaceutical industry. And I'm sure it's the same in Canada that every news program is bookended by, you know, lots of drugs that you could take. Ask your doctor now. And Jesse Van Rootselaar, 18, identified as a transgender ex-student behind the Tumblr Ridge mass shooting.
Yeah. And so that's also, I believe, has made, his original name, but I believe he was going, using his mother's name was Jesse Strang. So S-T-R-A-R-A-N-G. Now they said he was 18 years old. It's whether his birthday falls 17 or 18. That's not the problem here. The problem is here that he was given access to drugs where whatever psychologist he was seeing or psychiatrist, because they're the ones that prescribe these drugs, he was seeing needs to be addressed and looked at seriously. Because if you continue to affirm people with mental illness and tell them that they are in the wrong body, I'm not sure what we're going to expect. Because when you give these cocktail of drugs, which I have listed in my Substack where you guys can go ahead and see, he, in his own words, breaks down the drugs that he was on. He goes through them. He constantly also looks on Reddit in these posts about seeking, you know, people are asking, have you sought professional help? Have you tried ECT, which is, by the way, Canada's solution to MDD, major depressive disorder. It's electroshock therapy. That's super fun. But DMT alone, he asks that, you know, do I need a sitter? Are these going to contraindicate with my medications? He also admits to being and using DMT frequently. And he said it seemed completely safe for me. Now, I can tell you, as somebody who works with psychedelics, never, never, ever, ever is it okay to be on these drugs and go and sit with DMT, let alone sit with them alone. It causes too much instability. And when you're not using integration and grounding yourself back into reality, these are these breaks we get. This doesn't just snap. Somebody doesn't snap. That's not how this works. This is a slow drip. And over year after year after year, this is what happens when you have family members who are unwilling to stand up to children and say, I understand what you're feeling, but if you want to transition later at 18 or 21 or 25, that is your prerogative. But I will be damned if we continue to allow children to make decisions that they do not have the frontal lobe capacity to be making, couple them with pharmaceutical intervention like this, and then go, I don't know why it happened.
And this is years of, so if this individual started the transition process when they're 12 and now, you know, 8 years later, well, finally, you know, all the SSRIs, all the other drugs, they're on the hormone blockers and now doing mushrooms and DMT and then having access to a gun. And who knows what else, like what else is, this person looking at online on social media, that's influencing the thoughts to put, cause something has to put your thought in there. Like, hey, you need to go kill some people there. It doesn't just happen in a vacuum. I don't think, but you know, maybe, in DMT, you know, people do think that, you could go out and, you're talking with other entities that you access and you do see other entities. When you go really far into the warp drive wormhole, and maybe something influenced him there. I mean, who knows at this point? I mean, we'll never know now because committed suicide after shooting all those people. And but I mean, what do you think? Do you think it's a combination of that, or just the many years of abuse? I mean, what happened with this kid? You know, is there anything written about him from the past aside from these posts?
I mean, all that we really know now is that the police do have a history of attendance at the family's home. Officers have responded to calls, both dealing with mental illness and weapons. So this isn't something that's completely unknown, apparently, to the police up in that area, which is about 12 hours from me up north. Now, it's really, truly sad because people are showing posts of his mother supporting the trans community as, you know, as early as last year, saying that, you know, we have to support the trans community. We have to do all these things. And it's a really hard one to look at because I understand you want to protect your child. I fully grasp that. I'm a mother. I get it. You don't want the world to come at your child a certain way. But instead of affirming your child, you should be asking them when and why they started to think that they were a woman in the first place. I think we should look at influence. Community matters, society matters, and they all have outside pressures and stressors that we put in. And then if you couple that with already untreated mental illness. Now, he says in his own post that he was diagnosed with MDD. Well, that's major depressive disorder. I was also diagnosed with major depressive disorder. And when you are put on a cocktail of drugs like this, it's hard to say it had anything to do with the psychedelics, if I'm being honest with you. I think they just added insult to injury. Based on what I can see and what I'm finding out, I mean, we are barely 24 hours out now from this, is that an individual like this was already mentally ill, was already struggling with depression issues, and now struggling with what looks like body dysmorphia, which a lot of this we see, you know, Abigail Schreier talks about this in her book, Irreversible Damage. You know, it's a social contagion, and we are seeing this take over our next generation of children. So I'm very hard pressed to say, I don't know that, I don't believe personally this would be psychedelics. I think this is adding insult to injury. I believe this was already a big problem, whether it was through pharmacology, whether it was through bad psychiatry, whether it was parents and everyone else affirming. I think that he was already on a slippery slope. Do I think he would have maybe acted out if he didn't lean into psychedelics? When I see somebody like this trying to find a cure for themselves, leaning into psychedelics because they feel hopeless, that tells me that the system has failed them, because I know that's what I did. So I believe this is much deeper than just psychedelics. I believe this is a polypharma situation. I believe this is a lack of control in the family unit. And I think that based on what we've seen now from the police, this family was known as with this child with mental health issues. He wasn't in school anymore. He had been transitioned for several years. So I'm very careful to say that, again, psychedelics in the right set and setting with the right integration, not on pharmaceutical drugs with the right candidate, is a safe option for the majority of people if you are not already diagnosed. But in saying that, with somebody like this, this young, and having this much in his system, it's not a shock that his brain finally went, because that is an awful lot to put on a young brain and a young frontal lobe.
And what's the argument they use for the parents? They're like, do you want a dead daughter or a live
or
son?
Alive son?
They say they're going to commit suicide. Yeah. Well, what happened here? You know, you created a little monster in the making, and you know, the media is not going to blame or even look at the SSRIs. They're going to be like, well, those were trying to help, but then he started taking psychedelics and it turned him into a monster. It's like a kind of a reefer madness type mentality that the press is going to come out with, instead of looking at, you know, who was the psychiatrist or psychologist who was responsible for this, talking to this kid? What was the history? We're probably never going to see that. They're probably never going to even approach that. And it's just going to be a demonization of psychedelics. And I mean, what is the difference between this MEO DMT and regular DMT? I don't even know.
So 5-MeO DMT is slightly different. You can smoke it, and it is normally a 10 to 15 minute experience. And then he spoke very briefly about a different, I don't know that he fully understood what he was saying here on Reddit, but 5-MeO DMT is an incredibly strong psychedelic where when you sit with it, it feels like a 10 to 15 minute experience, but people have come out of it and stated they've lived an entire other life in another place. They've met entities, they've sat with people, they've had conversations, and then they've come back to their body. So can you imagine if an individual who was on already 280 milligrams, this is self-admitted in a Reddit post, this is what he stated, saying that he was on 280 milligrams of an SSRI. That is such a heavy dose. When you're on SSRIs prolonged, me not being a doctor, this is just 15 years of lived experience, and then you go off of them. If you don't taper properly, you can have massive issues with mental health, like just from going off of them like that alone, because your brain becomes reliant on them for providing serotonin. And we understand that serotonin, 90% of it comes from your gut. So the thing about SSRIs is they don't actually give you serotonin. They ration what you already have. And then if you just choose to go off of them, like most teenagers do, they don't take things on time. That's, you know, how unplanned pregnancies happen. You don't take your birth control that day. Oh, there you go. So if you don't take your medication on time, you're going to have symptoms from that. And the one thing that people don't want to acknowledge is that SSRIs, the known, one of the known risk factors is suicidality. It doesn't mean mass shootings. It means you might have suicidal ideation. So it states that this could be a complication of the medication. So you couple that with already not being happy in your body, already being up in the northern part of British Columbia, which is a very small town.
Not a lot of sunlight.
And feeling either isolated. Today we got it though.
Yeah.
But the thing is when you don't have people around you to either usher you back into a reality, I'm just trying to understand why we would go so quick to blame the psychedelic and not look at things like community support, your doctors, the family unit, and then what this kid was going through, what he was searching online. The thing that gets me the most is the audacity of the Canadian media, or the whatever they call themselves now, media, having the absolute balls to call this a woman.
Yeah.
Because this has never been a woman. And we need to stop with this narrative, because this is the narrative that got him in this place in the first place.
The enabling, you can't have the inmates running the asylum, which is kind of what you have in those cases. You have the person with the problems dictating all the terms of how they're going to live, how they're going to be addressed, instead of people going, hey, you know, maybe you're just going through puberty. That's what happens when you're 12. 12 and 13 is when most kids go through puberty, except, you know, now we got so many plasticizers and stuff in our food and water that it's happening earlier to kids, but which could also be one of these things causing this. We have all these hormone disruptors in the foods and in the clothing and in, the printer ink, everything. And, you know, nobody's even looking at that. Could that be, we're having cumulative effects with these kids? And is this causing some of this stuff? And then you counteract, you know, you add SSRIs and the drugs and everything else and social media and, you know, the empowerment that comes with being a trans person, because then they get sort of like a little bit of street cred. We got about 30 seconds. You know what? I'll hold you over for the first five in the next segment. I'll let you plug your stuff and where we go from here. But like, you know, saying all that, where do these people go? Where does this community go after, you know, dealing with this type of tragedy, being of such a small community? How is this going to affect the rest of Canada? I'll let you answer that when we get back, because this is a small incident way up north, but it's going to have reverberations all over the country coming up. We'll be right back.
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at theauctionstore.com. And they had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives. That's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it. So people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly. Four or five great designs. They got a bigger shipment in just the last 2 days. Our sponsor, just really top flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality Damascus steel, all of it. These sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, $40-something bucks. Okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small. It's a nice little memento. You support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back in their overstock of the Fire with Its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. And this is the knife that sold out the quickest of any knife. They got 500 of these. 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones Ring Blade. Yes, those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back. Got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. But while you're at it, get methylene blue, Irish sea moss, and more. And check out the Patriot Apparel, thealexjonesstore.com.
Starting the third hour of the War Room, my guest is Kelsey Sharon. We're going to finish up here talking about this horrible mass shooting that happened up in the north of British Columbia and how they're going to start blaming, well, they're going to blame guns and they're going to blame mushrooms and DMT, it looks like. Also, the young man who did this said, I smoke a decent bit of weed. So I imagine doing all that stuff plus the SSRIs, sertraline. He had 280 milligrams of that and on rare occasion, 2 milligrams of risperidone, among other things, fluoxetine, which that's interesting. I think that was a cure for COVID as well. So all kind of weird stuff going on in this kid to create this, a little cocktail to create a little monster. Kelsey, what do you think the first steps, of when does the rest of the gun confiscations happen after this?
Well, I mean, we've already been on the path, right? You've seen now, if you've paid attention to Canadian media at all, you've seen that the Liberals have been trying to take the guns from us for a significant amount of time. I mean, since the moment Trudeau came in, he said, you know, guns are bad and, you know, guns cause problems. Well, what causes problems is unchecked, unfettered immigration and access to weapons with people who do not have licenses like PALs through people like Silvercorps. You know, this is what happens when you give individuals access who are mentally ill, who, by the way, he lived up north. So the thing about living up north, like I said before the break, was he lived up near an area where there was a lot of animals, a lot of hunting. So it's not a surprise that guns were there. They're going to try to take them. They're going to use this as an opportunity. And like I said, that was the first time I've ever seen Mark Carney feel anything. Now, Mark has his own child with similar mental illnesses. And so I don't see this being addressed properly at any point. Even the RCMP continue to call him a girl, which we know is not true. So I think next steps is you will see them push hard with the gun buyback program, and they're going to start forcing this very quickly. So, you know, guns are going to go missing off the boat, but they will utilize this as a way to take over what's already the very, very few freedoms we have left in this country. And for this community is going to be mourning a very long time. Small community, 2,500 people. I pray for those that are still surviving. We have the young girl, I believe her name is Maya, in Vancouver Children's Hospital right now fighting for her life. Again, no fault of her own, going to school one day just to be shot by somebody who is very mentally ill. So I am optimistic that this community will heal. It will take time because we have never seen anything like this. If I'm not mistaken, this is one of the largest shootings we've ever had in Canadian history. And so don't get it twisted. The Liberals will utilize this as some way to take any and the rest of what is barely left our gun rights away from us.
Yeah, it's a shame because that's the first thing they do in these situations, and they never look at the trend. What is the trend line? The last few mass shootings have happened with transgenders. Guys, put the call-in number up. We're going to go to the next segment. I don't have a guest, but I do want to get people's opinions on this. Throw in that call-in number. It's 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. Give us a call. I'm going to have about a 30-minute segment where I'll let people break in on any of the stuff we've been talking about. We've kind of covered the gamut of topics today. But this here is really a situation. Where can people call and what can people do if they're feeling like this gender dysphoric thing? I mean, what are there any resources out there for people to like kind of, hey, it's just puberty. It's not, you know, you're not depressed. You're just going through changes in your body.
Well, if you're in Canada, most psychiatrists, they're not allowed to say anything other than affirm it or you'll lose your medical license. You've heard Dr. Jordan Peterson speak about this before. You will get called on. You will be reported on. So I just highly suggest if your child is bringing this up and your child is going through this, don't sit there and affirm them. Ask them, what happened? What have you been watching? Who are you around? What are you ingesting? And what are your friends saying? And try to remind them that they were born in the right body. They've never been born in a wrong body. And I always just suggest, I'm a mental health expert. I do this work. I always say, if you're struggling, go to KelseySharon.com. I will help as many people as I can through things like this, because this is a small community who's never experienced it. So we do our best to help where we can, but it's not going to be through our healthcare system.
Right. And we can follow you on X at Kelsey Burns, KelseyBurns, and on Substack at Kelsey Sharon. And then you have KelseySharon.com where people can get more information on that. Thank you for coming on. It was kind of short notice today, but I mean, this is really a topic I think you were definitely made to talk about. You did a bang up job, and I'm sure we'll have more coming as this case progresses.
Gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Alex, I just wanted to take time out of my supervillain day to say happy birthday. Let's double up on the chemtrails today. Happy birthday, Alex. Hope it's a good one. Happy 52nd birthday, Big Al. Let the good times roll, baby. Hey, Alex, it's your old pal Larry Fink here at BlackRock. Just wanted to wish you a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Alex, from your old pal, Dr. Fauci. Here's to another great year.
Well, I just want to thank everybody for the birthday wishes today. I really feel special, and I'll continue to fight the info war.
All right, that was at Wars of the Info on X. Sent that to me today, and you know, we don't do much to celebrate Alex's birthday. He doesn't really like it, but there's the video right there, and you can find that. He's probably got it posted on his X at Wars of the Info. And before we go to your calls, I just want to remind people, I haven't even plugged this whole show yet. If you go to thealexjonesstore.com, we do have right now our 50% off special. There's 50% off all supplement subscriptions. So, I mean, that's methylene blue, methylene red, colostrum, I bet war, I don't know if war cries on, cause I don't know how much you get that in a subscription, but I just took a big whiff of the war cry, the last segment and it was boom, woke me up, getting back going. But we have, guys, pull up some of the other part. I do take methylene blue in the capsule form. We got Mind Fuel. Go to the store though. Just go to the products in the store and I'll just read them off for people. Yes, I know. I already covered those. Methylene blue, colostrum, methylene red. And methylene red's exclusive to us. Yeah. Ultimate Life Force, Ultimate Sea Moss, Shilajit. We do have the Modern World Survival Pack, which gives you all three of those. We have the blue tallow mixed with methylene blue, the ultimate turmeric, gummies. We have the sea moss gummies, the creatine powder, which is amazing. My son loves the creatine powder. It doesn't even taste. It's just there, and it gives him that boost, especially in the mental capacity. DNA Revival, the Power Plant and Methyl Drive, the Shilajit gummies, MK Ultra, which is really good, the magnesium with the vitamin K, Atomic Defense, and the Tallow Bomb. All that can be found at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and we have two bundles, the Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle and the Modern World Survival Stack. The Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle comes with bovine colostrum, methylene blue, and methylene red tinctures, and then the Modern World Survival Stack, Shilajit Complex, CMOS capsules, and Atomic Defense. All available 50% off on those two bundles, and plus 50% off all subscriptions. So if you want to support us monthly, that's a good way to do it with a subscription. You can just pay as you go, and you don't have to think about it. Boom, suddenly your vitamins come in. You get charged once a month, and they're there. And then you could just take them and also know you're supporting the InfoWar, because everything you do supports us at thealexjonesstore.com. Those are the Bigly Boys up in Fayetteville, Arkansas, doing their best to keep the products in stock, ready to ship. And they do a great job. So check them out at thealexjonesstore.com and save some money, get healthy, and support the InfoWar. All three things can be done at once. It's what we call a 360 win. All right, let's go to Bart in Georgia. Wants to talk about the shooting. Put the phone number back up, guys. We'll get a few more calls in before we get to this. But, Bart, how's it going today?
It's going great. Thank you for taking my call. Canada doesn't have a gun problem. They have a social problem, number one. The families have been broken up. There's probably no father in that family. I don't even have to check. I guarantee you there's no father there. But we have a transvestite problem with all the propaganda going out. They're going to use this to try to take away the guns, but we can't. Hopefully they can stop that. But we have a transvestite and a social problem, not a gun problem. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that came up during the 2020 lockdowns. People were locked down in their homes. They were watching social media nonstop because that's really all there was to do. It was, you know, escape from reality. And so kids are coming of age and they're seeing all this. Oh, you're born in the wrong body. You don't feel good. It must be this. You have gender dysphoria. Then you had the peer pressure. I've heard stories all over Austin of, especially not in the lower income districts, but the higher up, the high income districts over in the hoity toity areas. These kids, they think it's trendy to change their sex. They think that you can just switch it on and off like a light. And they were peer pressuring other kids. Oh, are you trans? Are you gay? Are you queer? And getting them into that mindset. And it's pretty disgusting what happened over that lockdown. But that was definitely, you saw the uptick in that. Now you see the uptick in mass shootings. Here's just a graph. Here's trans, non-binary, all. And you can see the rates, Asian, Black, White, Hispanic, Native American. Mass shooting rates by demographic. There it is. And that's rates by the demographic group. All right, let's go to Tim in Seattle. Tim, go ahead. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. As much as we're in behind the eight ball as far as they're taking away our rights, I think it's time to start doubling and tripling down. And we should just, like, Canadians, you, the people in UK, they should just demand their gun rights to be completely restored.
Yeah.
They should flip the script and just demand a full restoration of all of their gun rights and not even blink in the entire time. And maybe it'll happen. I mean, because ultimately, you know, we are ruled by pedophiles. So, I mean, let's just stop playing games. Like, let's get our guns back. Let's start making all sides come to the table.
Like, yeah, they have to be accountability. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, it's not everybody else in Canada's fault that this kid got a gun and was being told, you know, you're in the wrong body. And, you know, who knows who gave him those thoughts of going out and doing a mass shooting. I don't know how those thoughts get into kids' heads, but, you know, when you're messing with your brain and knocking the crap out of it with SSRIs and other drugs, who knows what can happen? I mean, when you're doing that, stuff is going to change. And the CIA knows this. That's how they used mind control against people, by messing with people's heads and breaking them down and putting suggestions in. So who knows? Maybe this kid had a handler. We don't know. It could have been a psychologist. We don't know any of that at this point, but these are the questions that need to be asked. It's not, oh, we have guns, and so that's why this happened. There's a lot of other, and maybe there's enough outcry out there from people to break through that Overton window. What do you think about that, Tim? You think that could happen?
If there's enough serious people, yeah, the Overton window is ours, and we just have to, you know, be serious. I mean, God gave us a voice to fight evil, and the only reason why they try to silence us is because they fear our voices.
Right.
That's just the simple calculus of this all. Elon Musk could do this. I mean, I don't think it's illegal to do it in the UK. I mean, he could literally start running guns legally, of course, up into those nations and, you know, come what may, you know, let us have justice. At least let us be armed to defend ourselves.
When seconds count, cops are minutes away, as the old saying goes. And if any of those teachers had been armed, maybe they could have stopped this. I mean, I'm sure we'll get the horrible details of how they were all huddled in classrooms just waiting to be shot because nobody was armed. And then you have counties in Texas where, you know, most of the teachers are armed. And unfortunately, you didn't have that in Uvalde, because they could have stopped that mass shooter. And what did the cops do? What did the cops do when that was going on? They were putting gel on their hands to kill all the microbes and just sitting back and waiting for that monster to finish his work before they went in and stopped him.
It's pretty standard. They don't try to save children at all. They just try to use the death of children against us.
Exactly. Yeah.
Pretty standard.
The more deaths to them, the more deaths, the better. And so that's how they take these, they never let a good tragedy go to waste, as Rahm Emanuel said. All right. Thanks for calling, Tim. Let's go to Godzilla in Wisconsin. Go ahead. Godzilla, how you doing?
Well, and yourself, Mr. Dew?
I'm doing great.
Doing great, yeah. It's kind of like Alex Jones' birthday. We got all the conspiracy theories that ever were proven true with these Epstein files. And I thought that, like, you know, the Epstein stuff talks a lot of also about the trans and shooters making...
They talked about turning that into a movement. That was one in some of the emails. How can we turn this trans thing into a trend? And that was years ago. It was, you know, before even the lockdowns, they were already talking about doing that.
And using a combination of messing with people's sexuality, sexual lifestyle, and drugs to, like, manipulate their minds as, like, mind control. Like, we've all seen, like, what guys and people will do for romance, you know, with Valentine's Day coming up and all. But also with Epstein, I was wondering, you showed the Zorro Ranch video.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, in that video, if you look right next to the ranch, the drone video, there's, like, this huge bunker entrance. Did you see this, Rob?
You know,
and I was just, like, wondering,
guys,
like,
pull up that Zorro Ranch footage, see if we can find it. And I wouldn't be surprised that there's a bunker underneath Zorro Ranch. You know, he bought that in the 90s, so he had plenty of time to make that. In fact, if you watch the Steve Bannon interview, he talks a lot about the Santa Fe Institute. That was like the kind of nonprofit arm he created to bring scientists together, but that was really to, you know, part of his program to seed the world and possibly create some sort of conveyor belt system where they were creating, having people have kids that then they could, you know, reduce down to nothing and then inject into their veins, like what we saw with Peter Nygaard. He's one of those people who was into that. But yeah, go ahead. I'll see if these guys can find the video, but go ahead, Godzilla.
Sure. Yeah, and they were, like, saying how they were trying to make, like, in the releases, the Epstein releases, they were trying to make, like, sex concubines without limbs that they couldn't fight or without brain stems.
Jeez.
You know, and, like, all these, like, weird Frankenstein island of Dr. Monroe creatures, you know, and talks about clones and blood boys and stuff and, you know, the Ubermensch and super soldier stuff, you know, and I think that's tied in kind of like are they testing on the population here on how to make people go out of, you know, lose their minds, like you see with this Canadian shooter or all these other shooters with this different cocktail and feeding them media and this narrative. And it just makes me think that, like, you know, Satan and satanic groups have run amok, like you've seen with Epstein, and Trump needs to do, like, what Putin did and just ban the satanic church outright, you know, and start clamping down on it like a hate group, a violent group, you know.
I think I saw the entrance to the bunker that you were talking about. It's on the road going to the ranch. It's off to the right.
Slit.
What's that?
It's a giant slit.
Yeah.
Into the side. And it's like, if you have that type of power, you know, like, obviously it's more than just sex trafficking. You don't need a bunker entrance the size of a jet airplane, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, what's going on under there? And more importantly, why haven't the feds, like, gone in there and be like, hey, guys, this is what we found. I mean, it could be bigger than finding Osama bin Laden.
Well, it's because they're implicated in this. This stuff doesn't just happen on its own. He's an intelligence asset, and this is part of an operation. They're like, hey, go ahead and do your thing. We don't care if you diddle kids and mess with young girls and sex traffic them. We're going to let that slide because, you know, that's the way we roll, as long as you're working for us. Thanks for the call, Godzilla. Let's go to Brendan in Georgia. Go ahead, Brendan.
Rob Dew, thank you, brother.
Yep.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
And God bless the InfoWar and all the InfoWarriors. I'm a combat Air Force veteran, Gulf War, and I'm disgusted with what is going on in our country. This is disgusting, Rob. It's disgusting. Why are we putting up with this, people? Why are we putting up with this?
We haven't hit the pedo tolerance level yet.
This is disgusting, Rob. It's disgusting.
I know. You should be disgusted.
The people.
That's a normal reaction.
The United States.
Yeah.
In order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity.
do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Where are you, Trump? Where are you, people?
I think it's safe to say he's captured.
Are you willing to lay it all on the line for freedom and for tranquility and for liberty? No, I think we got a bunch of domesticated, docile imbeciles, Rob Dew.
Sure.
Docile imbeciles.
No, we have to break through that Overton window. We have to break through with more bringing all this stuff out. You're going to see more. See, this is the thing. Now we've gone through and you see the searches for Epstein are higher than ever. So now other people who are in these positions who are like underlings and, you know, Renfields of this system, some of them are going to start leaking information or putting information out and becoming whistleblowers. And it's going to grow. It's just going to keep growing and growing. It's not going to be like they can't put the genie back in the bottle. Too many people know about it. My in-laws know about it. They knew about the jerky emails. Okay. And they're like Fox Republican news watchers, and they already knew about this stuff. It's going out there. It's going nuclear. All we need to do is keep the pressure on and not stop. Every day you got to do a little bit to carry the ball. And other people are going to take that ball, and we're not going to stop. So I hope you're not stopping, Brendan. I hope you're going to keep warning people.
Yes, Rob Dew, you're the man. And InfoWars, I have been an InfoWarrior for 30 years.
Yeah.
And my life, I'm 51 years old. I'm 10 months younger than Alex, and his birthday is this month. I'm 10 months. Alex is younger. And I found all these people 30 years ago. Alex Jones, G. Edward Griffin, all these people. Catherine Austin Fitt,
mm-hmm.
All these people. I've learned what the real scoop is. I've listened to these people, and all these people out here are probably similar to me. I'm 51 years old. My last 30 years has been changed because of Alex Jones and Catherine Austin Fitz and G. Edward Griffin. All of these people have educated me.
And that's what it takes. Other people.
I went to college, Rob Dew. I went to college, Rob Dew, back in my 30s. Back in my 30s, I went back to college, and I didn't even graduate because they were just teaching us how to be good communists, Rob Dew.
Yep, yep.
They were teaching us how to be good communists. And I was there. I was watching these young people get marching for Bernie Sanders in Boise, Idaho, downtown Boise, Idaho, sir. Mm-hmm. Marching for Bernie Sanders and these effing idiots. These effing idiots, Rob, these uneducated plebs.
Yeah.
You people are morons. You need to wake up, America. This is from a combat Air Force veteran. You need to wake your ass up and educate yourself and take responsibility.
I agree.
Yourself and your country.
And approach the moron with an open hand, not a closed fist, because we also need to grab the moron and explain to him what's going on. Because once the moron even understands what's going on, the moron will join your side, because these people, most of these people aren't pedophiles out there. They may have different value sets, but at the end of the day, they care about children and they don't want to see children suffer. I firmly believe that. Let's go to Climb BNX in Vancouver. Go ahead. Let's talk about the health regulations with HIP HPOA. I'm not sure what that is. I almost said HIPAA, but go ahead, Climb BMX.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, it's I'm in Vancouver Island here, and it's provincially, it's the HPOA, which is acronym for Health Professionals and the Ministry of Health may unilaterally set or change practice standards. Section 533, the government may adopt external laws or standards without debate. And this is coming from a naturopathic surgeon, the highly accredited Dr. Christoph Kind in Courtney. He's incorporated, and it is... He's given up. He's throwing in the towel, and the regulations here are so terrible that he's given up his practice. It's that bad.
Yeah, and people are getting mired in this stuff. All the regulations, everything else, they're just kind of I can see why people are giving up, because they look at the old system and they're like, wow, I used to be able to have my own thoughts and do everything. Now everything's dictated from above. And that's how centralization works. They don't want you to be an individual thinker. Thanks for the call. I'm going to try to get through a couple more of these. I had to cut you off a little bit, but let's go to Michael in Ohio. I'll give you 45 seconds. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, Rob. How we doing today?
All right.
I just want to wish Alex a happy birthday. You're killing it out here. You always do. I love listening to you. But I have to agree with the caller earlier, was the interview that you had actually with a gentleman talking about constitutional rights, and we're in a corporate America, man. We need to bring back the Constitution, and it does start with the counties and then eventually the states and then eventually the whole country. So I hope people find his website. I hope you share it on X. I was recently blocked on X for asking if we should try Pam Bondi for treason. And hanger. Evidently that goes against hate speech standards. But and then real quick, you know, I seen Alex say something about on that video at the beginning of your show how the cost of energy was down. And man, I don't know about anybody else, but I really don't see that. I have an electric bill coming due in just a few days, $760. My wife seen one of her patients had a bill for like $2,200 for electric in 1 month on their counter. So
it is going up, and it's definitely going up in some areas. People are getting a sticker shock, and Virginia, I think, just reenacted some taxes to raise people's electric bills up. And that's how all going to be under the guise of these data centers, because they use a lot of electricity and a lot of water. So they're going to be going after. So you need to hold these people accountable when they try to come into your community, and don't just let them come in and run roughshod. It does provide jobs, but at what expense? You know, if you can't afford to pay the electric bill, you know, what good are you? All right. Let's go to Don in Oklahoma. I want to know if there's any survivors of the shooting. Go ahead, Don.
Hey, I heard here, I think it was on your show, that this guy was on SSRIs.
Yeah.
Okay, so a list of those drugs, one of them prominent is Prozac. I believe it's over 50% sodium fluoride.
Yeah.
They formerly used that for a rat poison over 100 years ago.
Right.
And they'll breathe into trouble today. But anyway, and that's why they put it in our water. It's a neurotoxin, and they love us.
Yeah, and it also gives us bone cancer.
Oh, yeah. But so that's what when Jones was on, the CNN guy from Britain.
Yeah, Piers Morgan. Yeah, mass murder suicide pills.
Piers Morgan.
He was on 280 milligrams of sertraline, and also taking what else? Fluoxetine, 50 milligrams of that, so SSRI, and quinapine, unsure of the dosage. So you can see all that in there. I got only 30 seconds to the end of this. You know, maybe I'll get to the other two callers in the next segment. I do have a guest, so I don't think I'm going to be able to go to you, but hang tight, and it's possible. But my guest coming up next, Chris Hyde, is a survivalist, and we're going to talk about how do you survive in a situation where the Insurrection Act or martial law is declared in your city, say there's rioting going on. We're going to talk about that. And, you know, if you have to flee the city, what do you do? So we'll be right back coming up with the last segment of today's edition of The War Room. It's February 11th, 2026.
All right, I'm going to be very clear about this. I've done an hour and a half of live broadcasts and have not plugged one time. You're not going to get economic, cultural, military, spiritual analysis like this anywhere else. That's not a power trip. I've been blessed by God with the best crew, the best guests, the best intel. But it's up to you to boost this information. All I ask is that you share the live feeds, you share the articles. We get shut down early next month, which is, I haven't made the announcement yet, but this is it. God keeps coming through with miracles, but it just looks like it. You'll see major movement soon. I'll just stop there. It's okay. But I'm asking all of you that have been on the fence, you share articles, videos, wonderful, keep doing it. I thank you, humbly. I'm not mad you never supported us financially, but the products are great. I'm asking everyone to do one thing. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and one click, become a VIP for $30 a month. Now, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, everything. It's a discount when you do that. It's just like Amazon Prime. But let's just say you don't want ultramethylene blue or Shilajit or Irish sea moss or bovine colostrum. That's so incredible. Not a sexy name, but sexy results. Maybe you don't want to get any of the great Patriot t-shirts. Just be a VIP every month. A donation of $30 to our sponsor, Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Backup Network and the site. There's all sorts of behind the scenes attacking them. They're big boys too. You know, Nate was pardoned by the president trying to save a woman on J6. He did save her. But I mean, these are patriots. Just go to the site, upper right hand corner, VIP club. Just commit. You can cancel any time, so it's not much of a commitment. But each month you charge $30 on the first day of the month. Just be a VIP. Pledge to us $30 a month. You've got NPR, PBS getting billions of dollars a year from the feds and then begging constantly for your money to shovel communism and pedophilic garbage on you. We just sell you the very best supplements you've ever seen, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, badass knives, and we're swinging for the fences. I'm totally committed. I've given up 95% of my assets, which weren't ever that big. I could care less. Actually, I'm actually happier not having a few things to deal with. But the point is that we're now up against the wall. So I need you to simply become a VIP. And then you got a bad month, whatever the issue is, cancel. And then you get more money in a few months. You'll say you're like blue collar, whatever, hardworking person, totally respectable, the bedrock of this country, $30 a month, you get a little bit of problem, cancel. It's free. And then a few months later, things are going well again, become a VIP again. But for all you middle class people and all you wealthy people that aren't investing in the fight against the tyrants, you are crazy. All of you that have means should be a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com. It's just a $30 donation. If you don't want to spend the $40 you get to buy great products and just want to let it, you can be a member and just pile up $40 each month. And at the end of the year, what's 12 months? You know, you spend X and then gotten way more in and then, you know, do all your Christmas shopping. I don't care how you do it. I'm just saying, become a VIP. One click. Hit one button. I'm an attack dog, folks. I'm born for this. I'm bred for this. I love this. I'm fearless other than failure. I have no fear. All I'm saying is please become a VIP right now at thealexjonesstore.com. That's the simple commitment. VIP, VIP, VIP. And that's the term they use for it. I would call it Paul Revere Fund. I would call it tip of the spear. There's nowhere you can support where you're getting bigger results against the enemy. Bang for the buck. And it's just true. I'm not bragging. I'm very humble. I am your weapon. I am committed to you like a dog is to its owner. I mean, it's true. I am your servant. I am here to defend you and defend your family and defend your freedom because I'm defending mine as well. And we're all in this together. You understand? I am so committed to you at the very base of my soul. And I just simply want to see you awaken in the InfoWar. And there's nowhere better with one simple move than being a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the final segment of the War Room. 24 minutes and 13 seconds left in today's broadcast day here at the InfoWars Studios. Alex's 52nd birthday as well, and no text from him all day, so he must be having a good time. I wish him the best. My final guest for the afternoon is Chris Hyde. He's a survival skills instructor and organizer of the Sky Earth Gathering that takes place in April in Graham, Texas. He teaches in-person classes all about developing awareness for self-reliance in the woods or in the urban jungle of major cities. So I want to bring him up now. He's got a survival camp that he sets up. So there it is. I guess registration opens for his Sky Earth Gathering. Let's bring on Chris Hyde. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Rob?
I'm doing great. So let's get into it. Here's the scenario. There's a scenario. You're in Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's gone to complete hell. The riots are 10 times worse than they were in 2020. ICE agents are fragmented parts of the city doing their raids to get people, to get the criminals out because they're not being helped by the local PD. And then Trump declares the Insurrection Act for that area, which would, I think, inform or create some sort of martial law scenario in that area. What do people do who are law-abiding citizens who don't want to get involved? How do they survive a situation like this?
Well, if you're in your home, chances are you've got resources available there. If you're being forced out of your home from some other situation, both of those are two different situations. So I would first of all say if you're in an area where you've got resources, stay there. If for whatever reason those resources are starting to dwindle and security becomes, you know, no longer viable, you know, you've got no more security, then you've got to go. But ultimately, I think people need to just take their situational awareness very seriously. As we most of us know, we've got to start there, and we've got to have great attitudes about this stuff. Meaning, if you're just, hey, I'm doom and glooming this, there's nothing I can do, then you've already self-defeated yourself. So coming up with a good plan of action with your family, with your loved ones, whoever's near in your neighborhood as well, too. You know, hey, if our neighborhood goes on lockdown, or hey, if, you know, God forbid these individuals come into our neighborhood causing all kinds of ruckus, then what is our plan of action together? Because ultimately you will be better with your neighbors and everybody else than just by yourself trying to bug out. But it's so important to take note of what are your needs. And if you kind of think about the basics of fundamentals of survival, you know, you've got to have clothes, oxygen, sleep, you know, water, food. And how do you meet those needs once this catastrophic event is kicked off? So that's where a lot of the folks are turning to, you know, resources such as the survival packs and all of that. But knowing how to use that stuff is just as important as having it on hand. So that's basically where I'll say is for folks to start is get to know what are your needs, get to know a plan, and start packing gear according to that plan that's small and multi-purpose.
So I guess what you're talking about is two situations. One where you would stay and kind of, you know, hole up essentially, hole until whatever passes, which, you know, could be a week, could be a month, could be six right. months. I doubt it'll be, if anything breaks out, I don't think it'll take long to restore order unless it's, widespread nationwide, but which then it could get really crazy. But if you do have to flee, I guess you need a checklist of things. You need to keep your car filled up. You need to have extra gas. There's all kinds of, you know, firearms. There's all kinds of things you're going to need to, protect yourself. But, you know, you don't want to go out like your Mad Max, you know, with, armaments and stuff, out there, trying to lay waste to the wasteland. But, I guess what are some of the things people should look for? Like what, in terms of getting your neighbors, how do you approach your neighbors with stuff with these types of topics? Because a lot of people might laugh you off, but you know, hey, what if this happens? What are we going to do? Like how would you approach your neighbors, with this type of subject matter?
One of the things I would do is go across the street and, you know, or to the next door, wherever, first of all, across the street, because if something's happening and you are, you know, have firearms in your house and you're now firing outside towards the street, who's across from you? You know, so there could be that would be my first question to my across the street neighbor is, hey, things get crazy around here and shots start going off or ringing out. Do you want to come over here? Do you want me to go over there? Because we don't want to be doing the crossfire thing. That could be a nice, funny way to introduce all this. But in seriousness, you just want to get to know them. You know, you want to get to know the same things that you need, right? Which is what are those needs again, going back to water, shelter, all that. And then how can what you know in your skill sets compound with what they know and what resources they have? And it's really a get together and take control of the situation to keep these people out. Hey, I have firearms. Hey, I have spotlights. Hey, I have alarms. Hey, I've got cameras. Hey, I've got, you know, the fuel generators should they, you know, power go out. It's all of those collective things that I really think people should get together on first, because ultimately that's what unites us is the eternal truths of life. Like I said, these food, oxygen, water, there's no arguing about those things. We all need them. And I think for a lot of the people to go over to your neighbors is, again, maybe a challenge because we're just so digitized, but it's not hard to knock on your neighbor's door and introduce yourself. It really isn't. I know all my neighbors around here And the big thing to me is to ask questions first. So, you know, what are your travel advisories, for instance? Are there any? Are there restrictions to getting out of your neighborhood? Are there backup routes? Have you thought about backup routes? Are there opportunities for you to make your own route? Could you cut through and meet up with some friends two neighborhoods over who don't have closures on their streets? These are all just ideas and questions that you should theoretically ask yourself and then hopefully advise, you know, or come up with a game plan that you could then advise to your surrounding neighbors and your family. But, you know, how reliable are the resources going to be in your neighborhood once all this stuff goes on? So to me, it's about asking these questions and then coming up with really simple solutions to them. And that kind of satiates the fears and the unknown variables, because really that's what it is, right? The variables equal the unknown equals the fear. And the easiest and cheapest way to reduce those variables in your life is to keep things simple and to plan for those common variables.
Now, if you were trying to filter water, say you have, you know, a water source and you want to filter water, is it better to filter swimming pool water or filter like a bathtub full of water? What do you think is the going to be the easiest to clean out of those two?
Well, if you've got chlorine in your water, you're going to need to do some type of distillation to remove that chemical, because boiling water, treating it with iodine or potentially more chlorine isn't going to make that water any more potable. So in that situation, you'd actually boil it and catch the condensed steam, and that's what you would be trying to consume. A bathtub full of water would be much better because there's no chemicals in there. The back of the sink is a great option. Anything that doesn't have the chemicals is going to be much easier. And, you know, during the ice storm of Austin, Texas back in 2020, when that was going on, I was putting tarps on the sides of my house. So when the ice was starting to melt, I was just harvesting snow, melting that, pouring that into the back of the toilets. Anything that I could do to get water to keep the house going, I was trying to do. So play with that stuff. I will tell people, when this stuff happens in a kind of controlled situation, for instance, if the power goes out 1 or 2 days, this is your chance to prepare it, right? This is your chance to practice and play and kind of have fun. So don't look at these moments of, I can't surf the internet, you know, I can't watch my shows. Take this time, take those opportunities to play around and have fun and see where are the gaps in your plan and in the infrastructure of your home, in the security of your home. What happened when all of that happened? You know, did your gas stove still work, or was something caused that to go out? What took place in your house? So notate all that. But as far as purifying water, it's not that big of a deal when you don't have chemicals to treat it. You just simply boil it for 1 minute and pour it back and forth to aerate it, get some of the air back in it, and then drink it.
Okay. Okay. You talk in some of the notes you sent me, you talk about become the gray man, G-R-A-Y. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So in there, it talks about situational awareness, and I mentioned that briefly already. That is the beginning of getting to know your surroundings, just keeping your head on a swivel, being an owl, eyes open, where are the exits when you walk into a place, you know, who's looking a little suspect. And you think about this thing, this understanding, this concept about what I call baseline. And let's say, for instance, in your house or in your studio there, if something were to suddenly slam down and break, you know, that would be way out of baseline. And so typically there's rhythms and things that take place around cities. And if suddenly there's police sirens or suddenly screaming, these are things that are out of baseline. And the gray man concept is basically just being in that baseline all the time, not wearing flashy things, not trying to attract attention to yourself. So if you're in this situation of bugging out, especially in an urban sprawl, you don't want to be running with 30 backpacks, you know, filled with all your gear through the city, because you're looking like a target now. You see what I mean? So you're keeping your gear minimal. You're keeping your clothes tight and to your body. Whatever you're carrying on you that might be big and bulky is secured more to your person and not some big giant backpack. The gray man concept's talked about in a lot of different ways. You can look at Kevin Reeves on Point Tactical. Nate Summers' work around the scout craft is another wonderful example. But that's basically the gray man, just blending into that baseline of the city and the overall atmosphere wherever you're at.
Okay. And so you're in a situation, you've holed up for a couple weeks, but now you're like, well, now we have to leave the house. There's stuff going down. There's too much. It's too dangerous. The neighborhoods are being burnt to the ground. We have to flee. What are, you know, people have bug out bags. They know what that concept is, but what are the things that you should, you know, what are some must haves that you have to take with you when you do have to flee your house in one of those situations?
You know, you've got to think, again, what's energy? You know, do you have the means to charge equipment? Do you have maybe a little Wi-Fi hotspot in there? What are the travel plans? Do you have maps? Do you have potential backup routes for those? Are there, especially the, you know, tools, as far as tools go, you're definitely wanting something that can cut, right? So even when I say cutting, not just a knife, we're talking about potential pliers or bolt cutters, things that could potentially cut through a fence. You know, backup gasoline is obviously, hopefully, in the car, radio communications. You want to think about a lot of medical as well, potential injuries and risks, so really good stocked first aid kits. And knowing how to use all this stuff is just as important, again, like I said before, as having it. So multi-tools, anything that you can carry on, you know, what they call the EDC or the everyday carry, you know, if that's a firearm, if that's a knife, it could even be, and I keep binoculars in my truck all the time. I keep a spare kit, you know, for changing flat tires in my car all the time, you know, whether it's the spray that inflates it or the physical rubber things. All of those are just little tiny parts that you want to be thinking about. So if I were to boil it down to five things, you could say a cutting tool, some kind of cover like a blanket, a cloth, a tarp. You would also need what is called bind craft, so duct tape. We're talking zip ties. We're looking for rope as well. And then obviously something to start a fire potentially as well. So that would be the energy factor and potentially drying out clothes, cooking, signaling, doing all of those things that fires can do. And then the last thing would be the navigational tools, as I said before, map, compass, getting those oriented. And having that plan of, hey, we're bugging out, and where are we meeting? Where's our go-to point? Because bugging out's great, but where? To where? Where's the next home base? Because without that understanding, that's where the mind starts to go a little bit crazy, because now you don't have anywhere to go. You have no agenda. And we've all been there, I'm sure, if you're backpacking or camping or doing anything like that, even in a new city, trying to get your whereabouts without those, you know, metrics and that geospatial reference map of where to go, what is the agenda, we just start getting a little crazy. So planning it out accordingly.
And I think if you're going to be reading maps, you're going to need a Gen Xer, because I don't know if any of the generations after that know how to read maps even. I mean, when's the last time you opened a map?
Couple days ago, actually. Okay. I do a lot of map drawing and making with the kids. Our school year starts from September, goes till May, and the first couple of months they have to get familiar with their backyards, their whole house layout, because this is all awareness. And then we, you know, adapt those models to how do you create exit routes and, you know, what if this happens? And it's, to me, it's just about being prepared. It's not about doom and gloom. It's not about fear. It's just about being a better individual, so that when you show up in anywhere you go, everybody feels a little bit safer that you're there. You know, everybody feels a little bit more confident that you're there, because you have the wisdom and experience, the know-how to be that individual to help others with the skills, the wisdom that you have.
So yeah, you're not a deficiency. You're an yes. addition to the group. You're not a guy holding people
you're
back
or
a bowling ball. Yeah. Or right. a millstone tied around somebody's neck. You're there helping out. So you talked about training kids. So that's actually good, getting kids into reading maps and how to start fires and all that. What talk a little bit about your Sky Earth gathering and what that does and how those skills can be translated into, you know, everyday life, essentially.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I'm real big on getting people together over skills and building community around these skills. And my goal with Sky Earth is to get 100 or so folks together. And what we're going to do is bring a bunch of professional survival instructors out, and they're going to get to teach you all their favorite skills, whether that be from crafting your own bows and arrows and flint knapping. We're going to learn blacksmithing our own knives. We're going to do, you know, there's water purification and treatment. There's survival shelters out there. We basically do it all. And then we have a lot more to that is what we would call the homesteading aspect. So if you're into animal husbandry, if you're into starting a farm and learning how to, you know, become self-reliant in that way, we've got gentlemen out there who've literally taken government money and, you know, got 80 acres and all with government money to start a whole farm and are now running successful. And so we want to teach people and educate people out at SkyEarth how to become more self-reliant in all of these ways. And we do it by gathering together for a week. We camp out. We feed you dinner. There's bathrooms on site. There's a lot of cooking. There's a lot of ceremonies around the fire and storytelling. We do, we've got pretty much everything under the sun, from handgun and firearm training, because we've got a lot of land and big berms to shoot at, all the way again to kids camps. So if you've got kids, if you've got grandkids, if you want to come out and bring them out, we have a lot of fun there, running around, having adventures, teaching the kids about, again, wayfinding, how to do animal husbandry, take care of horses, and it's all there. So check it out. This is our ninth year doing it, and it's going to keep going and growing, and I'm really looking forward to this April. And hopefully, Rob, you can come out, and Betsy and everybody else can come too.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a question about guns. You were talking about guns just now. So shotgun, rifle, pistol. What's your, if you only get one, what's your choice?
Where am I going? What am I doing? I gotta know. Close quarters, I mean, you gotta go shotgun. Long range, if I'm sitting prone, you know, I'm going rifle. You know, it's just an EDC, the everyday carry. I've gotta have, you know, my 9mm. So, it just all depends on the situation. If I can bring all three, great, right? Sure. But nobody wants to carry that kind of weight.
Right.
In this situation, probably just a handgun, because the other two are going to be avoiding you the ability to do that gray man thing, right? Running around with a big rifle, big shotgun, that's going to draw attention, you know, whereas the concealed carry permits and all that, that's much better situation for yourself and protection.
And, you know, I haven't looked at the gun laws lately. Did Trump sign something actually where if you have a concealed handgun permit in your state, you can carry concealed everywhere? Has that happened yet? I know there was talk of doing that. I don't know if that actually passed, but
I'm not sure. I think in Texas, that's other than like federal court buildings and things like that. I think yes.
Yeah, well, in Texas, definitely. And I know there's some reciprocal agreements with Texas and other states. So if you have one in Texas, I know there were certain states, and I thought Trump was going to make it universal carry. If you had a concealed carry permit in one state, it would be good in all the states, because there are the gun. Here it is. As of 2026, yeah, he continued to support nationwide concealed carry reciprocity. H.R. 38S65 would allow gun owners with a valid permit from permitless states to carry concealed handguns across state lines. Supporters argue this protects Second Amendment rights, while opponents warn it undermines stricter state gun laws. Yeah, it definitely does. I don't necessarily know if you're safer with a stricter state gun law. It seems like that you become a victim disarmament zone. So say you're in a building and a shooter comes into the building and starts opening fire on people. What's your first, aside from getting out of there, but then you're trapped in this building. What do you do? What are some things people could do to, mitigate the damage?
Well, if you're inside of, let's say, a hotel room, if somebody's coming in with a gun and you're not armed, either you got a couple shot options, obviously. You could barricade yourself. You could try potentially to get to higher floors. You could try to potentially get to lower floors and get out the emergency exits. But those are about it. Other than barricades and, you know, would you attempt to tackle them through one of the hallways? I don't think so. So I would be looking for exits immediately. And if I'm on the highest floor, I would try to be getting to somewhere lower to get out of there. Or if not, if I don't feel that safe, then I'm barricading.
Yeah. And with barricade, you mean like sticking furniture in front of the door to keep the person from coming in. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We had a case, I guess, within the last 24 hours up in British Columbia, this kid who was, transitioning or had already transitioned for many years and then was on all kinds of, SSRIs and then started doing psychedelics and then, you know, takes a gun, kills his mom and his brother and then goes to the school, the local school who hadn't even been in this school and just starts, you know, killing kids. It's interesting, you know, how did, and it's just a question for you, how did the school become this thing where it became a place where people are like, that's where I can go inflict the most damage? I mean, obviously there's no guns at the school. It's a gun-free zone. But then where in that mindset did that happen? Because the school shooting really started happening, I guess, when I was a kid in school, they had the Columbine shooting, and then there was other shootings before that. But, you know, in the 50s and 60s, kids used to bring guns, in the 70s, kids used to bring guns to school, and you didn't see stuff like this. So what happened, I think, with our society and culture where this became a thing where I'm going to go shoot kids at school?
Well, at my school, the kids are required to bring knives, and we've never had a kid stab another child. So I would definitely say it's something to do with culture. You know, it's something that, there's an old saying that says, a child who does not receive the warmth of the village will feel that warmth by burning it to the ground. And so I think that when we don't have opportunities for children to feel seen, valued, heard, loved, cherished, you know, as a part of the society that they're growing up in, then they will begin to internally, you know, dwell, right? And that the old idle minds breeds insanity. And I think that they start, unfortunately, feeling that they're not a part of that. So if they don't want me, then, you know, it's that old adage of, if I can't have you, no one will, you know? So I think that's what's going on here. I think that children are unfortunately not having enough opportunities to feel that, you know, and the reason I say that is because of social media. You know, if you've got a phone in every child's hand and the whole goal is how do I get the most likes? How do I get the most status, right? It's really a status game. And when you don't rise to the status or if you don't find yourself viable to present yourself, to receive that recognition from the community, then, well, guess what? I'm going to receive it in a different way, right? I'm going to receive it in the way that I've seen others receive it, which is by becoming, unfortunately, a killer.
Yeah, and negative attention. So they're just looking for some sort of attention, and it can be positive or negative in the child's mind.
Absolutely.
Either way offers validation.
It's sad across the board, and you're absolutely right. I've never seen the amount of these school shootings until the whole Columbine thing kicked off. So.
Yeah, then became kind of in vogue. All right, Chris Hyatt, thank you for joining me. You can find out more about your Sky Earth Gathering, your survivalist camp at skyearthgathering.org. Is that right?
Yes, coming. Yes, skyearthgathering.org.com. Come join us this April. It's a week-long camp out from Sunday to Saturday. We'll feed you, and you'll learn some amazing skills, and we promise you you'll want to come back year after year, because each year we offer new classes, new opportunities to connect with one another, and look for other gatherings around the country. If you're not in Texas, just Primitive Skills Gatherings, and y'all have fun. Thanks for having me on, Rob.
Yep. God gave us hands to protect ourselves and provide for us, so use them.
That's
and
correct.
Use your brain.
That's correct.
Thanks for joining us, Chris, and thank you out there for watching us here on The War Room, and happy birthday, Alex Jones.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule that should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle. And it's been proven for 100 years. You know, it's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue. And this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning. Next level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.